This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. American troops killed 54 guerrillas in a fierce battle to fight off coordinated ambushes on armored convoys carrying large quantities of banknotes in the tense Iraqi town of Samarra. But confusion hung over the Samarra death toll, which a U.S. military spokesman at the town earlier put at 46. Military spokesman Brigadier General Mark Kimmett told a Baghdad news conference that 54 enemy combatants were killed in firefights that raged for most of Sunday afternoon in Samarra. Police said 8 civilians had also been killed, including an Iranian pilgrim. Doctors said they had only seen 6 bodies, but officials said this did not mean U.S. forces had misjudged the number of insurgents killed. U.S. troops conducted a big raid near the northern city of Kirkuk on Tuesday, but a military spokesman denied that a top former deputy of Saddam Hussein was captured during the operation. A member of Iraq's governing council said that Izzat Ibrahim al-Douri, the top Iraqi fugitive after Saddam, was the target of the raid. The Americans have pointed to al-Douri as a coordinator of the insurgency against U.S. forces and last week offered a $10 million reward for information leading to his arrest. The government is scrapping a rule imposed after the September 11th attacks that required men and boys from countries with suspected links to terrorism to register multiple times with U.S. officials. Asa Hutchinson, the Homeland Security Department's Undersecretary for Border and Transportation Security, said a new registration system that will apply to more foreigners will be in place next month, making the current program unnecessary. The Bush administration intends to lift its controversial duties on steel imports, most likely within the week, bowing to threats of retaliation from Europe and Asia, administration, industry, and congressional sources said on Monday. Ending the tariffs 16 months ahead of schedule to comply with a World Trade Organization ruling could spark a political backlash against President Bush in the pivotal steel-producing states of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia in advance of his re-election bid next year. Leo Gerard, president of the United Steelworkers of America Union, warned Bush could pay a price at the polls in next year's presidential elections if he lifted the tariffs. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
Concerned citizens calling a publicized toll-free number to report injured and dead manatees have instead been given offers to chat with fantasy girls in exchange for a credit card number. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission number changed years ago, but the old 800 number is still posted on websites, boater education signs, and park brochures. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, Sneezy, go to sleep.
I can't.
You could if you take NyQuil. It'll help your symptoms. So you'll sleep great. You know, like you do when you cuddle on the couch with a warm fleece blanket, a cozy fire, and a chick flick.
Now that's my kind of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved Liquicaps.
Did you happen to see the dignity with which the Italian people honored their 19 soldiers who were killed in an attack in Iraq? All 19 coffins were draped in the Italian flag. Italy's president was present for a moving ceremony, and there was a day of national mourning. Contrast this show of dignity to our White House's cold avoidance of any public mourning of the more than 400 coffins that have come back to our country from George W.'s war in Iraq. Bush handlers say that they don't want him seen with the coffins of our dead soldiers, for that would be off message. Rather, the Bushites are pushing a cheery message, proclaiming that things are going according to plan in Iraq, with great progress being made in our glorious occupation. Not only do the Bushites stay on message, but their right-wing media apologists also try to put a smiley face on our losses there, as do Georgia's congressional parrots. For example, one of the blathering GOP Congress critters, George Nethercutt of Spokane, recently went to Iraq on the taxpayer's dime for 4 days. He then returned and dutifully offered this brilliant insight. The story of what we've done in Iraq is remarkable. It is a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day. One wonders, how would Nethercutt feel if one of those soldiers was his child or grandchild? And if one of Bush's daughters was a soldier coming home in a coffin, would he go off message to greet it? And if 400 children of his top campaign contributors had died over there, would we still be in Iraq? Indeed, if the children of the privileged had to go to war, would Bush, the Congress, the war contractors, the media barons, and the right-wing talk showers have been so gung-ho to put our soldiers there in the first place? This is Jim Hightower saying, Bush's handlers pride themselves in keeping him in a PR bubble, safely isolated from the consequences of his presidency. They might be fooling him, but they're not fooling us.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Here's Nancy in the background. Nancy.
Oh,
Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
When you're swallowing all life's lies,
here, right now, Mike Malloy.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Mike Malloy here on Resistance Radio, as I love to call this program, Resistance Radio. Welcome aboard this evening program produced by Catherine Bay. Robin Bittman announces for us. The phone number here is 800-825-5937. That's 800-TALK-YES. And you can email during the program, if you like, mikedmalloy@earthlink.net. If you were just listening, you heard Jim Hightower's commentary there about how the Italians handled the deaths of, was it, Kathy, 16 of their soldiers, 14, 16 of their soldiers, the National Day of Mourning. The Italian prime minister, right-winger that he is, but still there he was. The way it was treated by the media, and on and on and on. And in this country, death is... we treat it weirdly here anyway. I remember the book years ago. Is it Jessica Mitford who wrote The American Way of Death? Years ago. Oh, my God. That exposed the funerary industry and yada, yada. But that's not really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is the utter and absolute disrespect and cowardice that is shown by George Bush as the so-called commander-in-chief. And as Jim Hightower pointed out, his handlers do not want him seen near returning coffins of dead Americans because it might thwart his reelection. It might be seen as negative PR. And as Hightower pointed out, yeah, you do wonder, what if George Bush's daughters were serving in the military? What if the children of the rich and privileged were serving in the military, the corporate chieftains and the media barons and so on and so forth? Would there be a news blackout? It's really disgusting, and it makes me sad. You know, usually I get enraged. You know, I really do. I just get furious. That's one of the reasons so many radio stations drop this program, because my rage overwhelms me. And it's something I should work on, but screw it. I'm too old. I don't care anymore. Why pretend? I watch people like my good friend Paul Begala on Crossfire every day, and I know that his stomach is churning and his muscles are going into spasms because he wants to reach across the table to Robert Novak and break his damn neck. But he restrains himself. I can't do that anymore. I can't do it. So I get enraged. But this thing about Bush not paying respects to dead Americans who are only there because Bush sent them. It's been made abundantly clear now in a report by the British press a month ago, that the frantic last-minute maneuvers by Saddam Hussein, pig that he is, to avoid the invasion of his country by offering the Bush crime family practically everything that they wanted, up to and including the concession on the oil and the natural resources. But because the Bush crime family is run by neocon fascists, they said, no, we're going to invade anyway. Okay. Thousands of dead Iraqis. And I'll tell you something. We are building, George Bush is building, a bank of ill will towards the United States in the Middle East that is going to exceed that which has come as a result of our singular support of Israel where it concerns the Palestinians. What Bush is doing now is going to cost American lives and destruction, not just in the Middle East, but American interests and some of the foreign interests of countries that are supporting us in Iraq for years, if not decades. This is something that we're going to have to deal with. And it was so unnecessary. It was so utterly and absolutely and totally unnecessary. But these returning dead soldiers, what do we have now, Kathy? Are we over 400 yet? These dead Americans that the media will not film, they wouldn't do it anyway, but now they are prohibited by the Bush crime family from taking video at Dover Air Force Base as these coffins return. They are prohibited from, unless specifically invited by the family, from filming graveside. Bush never attends anything. This breaks my heart. This doesn't enrage me. And it's one of those moments where, or one of those instances where I set aside the rightness or wrongness of our being there. And I do. I step out of it. It is totally wrong. It is a million, billion percent wrong. But in that moment of considering this, I just step out of it and say, you know, screw the rightness or wrongness. These are Americans who are coming home dead, lives cut short in most instances. In some of these cases, these are reservists of National Guard, National Guardsmen and women who are in their 40s and 50s. Who never joined a National Guard or the reserves to go into a hot war zone. But because of these cowards and criminals that run this country now, we have people in there, not just their teens and 20s, but 30s, 40s, and 50s who are dying for Bush's filthy oil war and his filthy campaign contributors. I don't know. Maybe it is rage. Maybe it's not sadness. Maybe it is rage underneath the sadness. But it strikes me on the surface as being making me, just little old Mikey Malloy, utterly and absolutely sad. But these people are dying. And again, I'm not talking about Iraqis. I'm not talking about Italians. I'm not talking about the Poles or the Ukrainians or who are the Japanese or whoever else is being blown to pieces in Iraq because of George Bush. I'm just talking about our guys, our Latino and black and white guys and gals, our teenagers and 20-somethings and 30 and 40-somethings, the grandparents who are being blown to pieces over there, the people with mortgages and credit card debt back here in the United States who are having limbs shot off, blown off for George Bush. And it should make me furious, but it's so sad, the cowardice of this man, this moral defective who sits in the White House, in the Oval Office, the utter and absolute cowardice of this man. Totally off topic, but I was listening to Hightower's comment, and it just struck me. Jesus. Tonight we're going to play a couple of, just a couple. What do we have here, Kathy? Three? Two? Two sound bites of Bush embracing his inner Bubba as he offers praise for the fantastic international sport of NASCAR. Yeah, he did today in the See, I just want to, I want to unleash with a just a string of curse words. Because you know George Bush doesn't give a tinker's damn about NASCAR. He couldn't care less. This child of privilege, this little snot, this failure at everything he's ever done, this guy who's had his golden testicles bailed out of every single fire he's ever laid them in, now wants to adopt his inner Bubba and talk about international sport of NASCAR racing. Another Karl Rove production. Anyway, we'll have some sound from that before he jetted off to Philadelphia to raise more campaign cash. He was in, where was he? Was he yesterday, Kathy? He was in Dearborn, Michigan. He was in, I think Clint sent me the story. Yeah, he was in Canton Township, Michigan, Monday. Went to an auto supply factory where he's talking about our economy is getting strong and it's getting stronger. And he's talking in a state that has lost 180,000 factory jobs since he took over. People are desperate in Michigan. They really are. They really are. According to the state of Michigan, unemployment in Michigan is 7.6%, the highest since 1992, when the last Bush bastard was in office. 7.6%, and there he stands talking about how great things are and... But we'll get to that a little bit later. But after he did that, I guess that was the point. After he did that, prior to doing that, he was in Detroit. Detroit, where he raised $700,000 more dollars. Incredible. Hey, Victor sent this to me. This is after the fact, but it's about Thanksgiving. I got to share this with you because it is really gruesome. I just love gruesome stuff every once in a while, don't you? I mean, just real, where inside intestines are spilling out into the street and heads are rolling. And they had a thing on Discovery Channel the other night about the use of the guillotine, and they had the camera set up so that you could see what it was like with the guillotine coming down and the speculation. About whether or not the heads would keep talking. Experiments were done by French physicians way back in the 18th century. Checking out, you know, as the head was lopped off, whether or not it would continue to bat its eyes and look around in wonderment. Stuff like that. Every once in a while, stuff like that just really... I guess it's because when I was a kid, I used to read Tales from the Crypt comic books before they were banned. And they were so vile. Well, Victor sent me the truth about Thanksgiving. The year was 1637. 700 men, women, and children of the Pequot tribe gathered for their annual green corn dance in an area that is now known as Groton, Connecticut. While they were gathered in this place of meeting, they were surrounded and attacked by mercenaries of the English and Dutch. The Indians were ordered from the building, and as they came forth, they were shot down. The rest were burned alive in the building. The next day, the governor of Massachusetts Bay Colony declared, quote, a day of thanksgiving, end quote, thanking God that they had eliminated over 700 men, women, and children. For the next 100 years, every, quote, Thanksgiving Day, end quote, ordained by a governor or president, was to honor that victory, thanking God that 700 men, women, and children had been butchered. Oh, my God. Now, Victor also included the source, Documents of Holland, 13-volume colonial documentary history, letters and reports from colonial officials to their superiors in the King of England, and the private papers of Sir William Johnson, British Indian agent for the New York colony for 30 years, yada, 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 chairman of the University of Connecticut Anthropology Department. I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Isn't that a... That's like the story in Poland. What was the forest where the Jews were herded into the Polish people herded the Jews into after the Nazis invaded Poland and slaughtered Poles. The Poles turned on the Jews and rounded up, what, 300, 600, who knows, Jews, put them in a barn, set it on fire, burned them all to death. People who lived in their own village. My God, we have a capacity for butchery, don't we? Okay. Got everybody started off on a good note tonight, eh? Where's the music, Kathy? Stick around, Truth Seekers. We have more fun and frivolity. If you have the stomach, I've got the material.
On the day the Nazi died, the world is riddled with maggots. The maggots are getting fat. They're making a tasty meal of all the bosses and bureaucrats. They're taking over the boardrooms and they're fat and full of pride. And they all came out of the woodwork on the day the Nazi died. So if you meet with these historians, I'll tell you.
tell you what to say. Tell them that the Nazis never really went away. They're out there burning houses down and peddling racist lies. And we'll never rest again until every Nazi dies.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
And tonight's winning jackpot numbers are... Jane, would you do the honors?
17, 6, 39, and...
Oh, cut. You sound awful.
Oh, my nose is runny. Head's all blocked up. I need my Alka-Seltzer Plus.
Only Alka-Seltzer Plus has an effervescent formula that breaks up nasal congestion and relieves your worst cold symptoms fast.
And the numbers are... Jane?
17, 6, 39, and 75.
Alka-Seltzer Plus breaks up your worst cold symptoms fast.
Wish I could watch some TV. If only my couch wasn't 43,000 feet away.
When you're in bed with the flu, the smallest distance can seem impossible.
If only the medicine cabinet wasn't way across the state line.
If only. If only you had the strength. You need Advil Flu and Body Ache. The power of Advil so nothing works harder on body aches, headaches, and fever. Plus a hard-working decongestant. Makes having the flu a lot more comfortable.
Now, if only I had a plasma TV.
Fight the flu with Advil Flu and Body Ache. Use as directed.
Animal Talk, helping you with your pets and talking to celebrities, like from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies, Raven Simone. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have 2 chinchillas and I have a big Briard.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out, so he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, who talks to the animals, and you don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All they need is love.
Animal Talk, Saturdays and Sundays on the IE America Radio Network.
Bruce Willis was in Iraq. Did you hear about this? He went to Telefar, I believe is the way you pronounce it. He has a band, Accelerator, played some rock and roll, and, you know, there were hundreds of U.S. soldiers there. Anyway, after he did his rock and roll, he took the microphone, he said, we're here to support you, and that's fine, okay. But then he offered the soldiers listening $1 million out of his own pocket for the capture of Saddam Hussein. And then he said, and if you catch him, just give me 4 seconds with him. Isn't he just a man's man, huh?
Who are you, then? Just another American who thinks he's John Wayne, Rambo.
He's always kind of partial to Roy Rogers, actually.
Do you really think you have a chance against us, Mr. Cowboy?
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
It's not your father's talk radio. It's Mike Malloy.
It's 24 past the hour of the town in Poland. I was trying to remember who sent this to me. T sent it to me. Jedwabny. Yeah, Jedwabny. Anyway, I'm sorry to bum you out so early in the program. Interesting little bit on Anderson Cooper tonight on CNN's 360 with Anderson Cooper. He was talking about the exclusivity of some videotape he was about to play and a report by Barbara Starr, one of CNN's reporters. And it was to be the first time in either forever or in the past year, I don't know, 6 months, I didn't catch that part, but the first time in a certain period of time that a network news agency, CNN News, had been allowed into Afghanistan to see what was going on with the killing and the death and the destruction and the lost war that we're involved in over there. So, you know, the way Anderson Cooper made the sound like it was a BFD, you know, whoa, wow, man, look at this. So they start running the video with a voiceover, Barbara Starr, before she does her little stand-up on camera. But they're running the video of the U.S. troops slogging through creeks and up sides of mountains and firing mortar rounds and so on and so forth. And up in the upper right-hand corner of the screen, you see a little what they call an addy that says, video courtesy U.S. military. And so CNN, oh, hey, we're in there. We got film. We have video. No, you don't. You have what the U.S. military gave you. So then Barbara Starr does her little stand-up in some, I don't know where she was. What's there, a mountain, a desert, a stream, a lake? I don't know. It could have been in New Mexico. Who knows? Who cares? We don't care about Afghanistan. Neither did the Soviets. But I just thought it was interesting. I really did. There's Anderson Cooper teasing the story. Oh, we have live footage, or not live footage, but we have a report from Afghanistan, first time, network, Barbara Starr, blah, blah. So then when you're watching the video, you go, oh, okay, this would be interesting. CNN cracked the Bush-Rovian wall of video silence, and they've made their way into Afghanistan with the truth. No, not so. And there it is, up in the upper right-hand part of the screen. Courtesy U.S. military. Oh, my God. That bothers me. I used to work at CNN. I worked there twice. It bothers me. I stole this off Bart Kopp's site. I'm going to mention something about Bart Kopp a little bit later this evening, too. But it's a quote from an article. Neil Bush has had a $60,000 a year employment contract with a top advisor to a Washington-based consulting firm set up this year to help companies secure contracts in Iraq. Neil Bush disclosed the payments during divorce proceedings in March from his now ex-wife Sharon. Mr. Bush said he was co-chairman of Crest Investment Corporation, a company based in Houston that invests in energy and other ventures. For this, he received $15,000 every 3 months for working an average of 3 or 4 hours a week. And then Bart Kopp adds 3 to 4 hours a week. That's a lot of work for a Bush bastard. I think he's stealing my term. I steal so much from him. I think he's stolen the term Bush bastard. That's all right. That's okay. We have an agreement. I pay him royalties for the stuff I steal from his site. He pays me royalties for the stuff he steals from this program. But $60,000 a year, because his name is Neil Bush, this is a guy that brought the American taxpayer the Silverado failure that cost us $1 billion. This is the guy that goes, where'd he go? Thailand? Bangkok? Hong Kong? I don't know where the hell he was. But he hears knocks on his hotel door, opens the door, and there are women begging him for sex that he invites in. This is a guy who has consulting contracts with companies based in communist China. Now, any of this stuff, imagine if Neil Bush's name was Roger Clinton. Bad to the bone. I broke 1,000 hearts before I met you. I'll break 1,000 more, baby, before I am through. I want to be yours, pretty baby, yours and yours alone. I'm here to tell you, honey, that I'm bad to the bone. Bad to the bone. Bad. 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 Bad.
high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better. He's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately, they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway about pets. Every Saturday and Sunday, we take your calls, help you with your pets, give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities like, from Eight Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Saturday noon to 2, Sunday 7 to 9 p.m. on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Truth, justice, and the American way with Mike Malloy. Where else?
27 before the hour. That raises the question for me. You know, if Neil Bush can be such a freak, why does the liberal media not report on that? I think when Roger Clinton got busted for what was it, Kathy, possession of a joint or something, or was it drunk driving? And you know, who knows? It was just a never-ending barrage of stories about this terrible Clinton family. You know, somebody said his mother was a drunk and had to retract the statement. Or I think Clinton was about to go pound this guy's ass for him. But it was one of these right-wing commentators. But here you have Neil Bush, who arguably has done more damage to the American taxpayer than not arguably, in fact. Than any presidential brother that I'm aware of, at least in modern times. Hundreds of millions of dollars we had to spend to clean up after this punk's dealings through Silverado Savings and Loan. Neil Bush has business dealings with the Saudis. Of course, all Bushes do. With the Bin Laden family, all Bushes do. And he just, you know, he sits back on his ass and continues to make money, trading on his family name, until his wife Sharon divorces him for being an utter and absolute whoremonger. I mean, this is a guy who would stick it in a pile of rocks if he thought there was a woman in there somewhere. It's awful, 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 filthy stuff, right? And that's why it should be headlined in the news. I mean, we talk about Lacey Peterson. We talk about Michael Jackson. Why don't we talk about Neil Bush? Huh? Well, you know the answer to that as well as I do. Any news man or woman or any network that brings up this pig's lifestyle and his crimes and his filth will find themselves getting a letter full of anthrax powder, don't you think? Or something equivalent. Speaking of the Bush crime family, I've got to play this for you. This is George today at, where was he, Kathy? On the South Lawn. All right, on the South Lawn, congratulating the 2003 NASCAR winners. And you'd think this is one of his favorite sports, right? We just thought it was odd here at the Malloy program how he refers to members of his administration as Bubbas. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
And congratulations on a great NASCAR Winston Cup Series. We're honored you all are here. I see a lot of the Bubbas who work in my administration who've shown up. I wonder why. I've hosted champions from many sports here at the White House. First time, however, we ever parked stock cars in the South Lawn.
Where's the rest of it? Well, there's another line. We're proud you all are here. Oh, my God. Well, all right, as long as we played that one. Is the other one complete, or is it going to end sooner than the script says here? Okay, let's try it. Here's the second one. How fantastic is NASCAR, you may be asking? Well, according to Too Stupid to Be President, it's internationally fantastic. In fact, European Bubbas just drool over this sport.
Some of the young drivers are with us today. These are the ones that are attracting some of the young fans to this fantastic sport. It's such a thrill to have you on the South Lawn. NASCAR is one of the fastest growing sports in America today.
Yeah?
75 million Americans now count themselves as fans.
Really?
And NASCAR has followers around the world.
No.
Who listen to your races in 21 languages.
No.
In 100 different countries.
100? Damn.
Fantastic international sport.
It is. Yeah. It's fantastic. It's très chic. It's muy, muy grande. Muy fantástico. Eh? Muy bien. God, have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate this guy? Oh, my God. Oh. Here's a guy that went to prep schools, Harvard, Yale. Of course, it doesn't matter. He didn't do anything there. But, you know, got by on his name, on a white boy affirmative action, who wouldn't lift his leg and pee on a NASCAR driver under normal circumstances. But Karl Rove has said to him, well, now, George, you got to get out there and then hang out with these doofuses, these tobacco-chewing freaks. Go ahead. They're all Christians. And here, George, 75 million Americans love this sport. So get out there and play Bubba.
Okay.
Hey, what's up with the ferocious gun battle that occurred last week in Iraq, huh? We were told by the whorish media in this country, feeding us information from the U.S. military in Iraq, that it was the biggest engagement since the end of the Iraqi war, right? We were told that. We were also told that 84 of the bad guys, that would be people who are pissed off because we're in their country, 54, I should say, attackers died in this firefight. The Iraqis said no, not true.
You killed 8 of our civilians because you couldn't hit the side of a barn. There were not 54 soldiers killed on the other side. Well, what's going on here? Now, the Telegraph of the UK had a reporter there. The reporter says wrecked cars and bullet-riddled shop fronts testified to the battle. But in the streets of Samarra, there was little evidence of what the Americans described as the biggest engagement since the end of the Iraqi war. Local people and a hospital doctor reported only 8 dead, not 54. They insisted the 8 were mainly civilians, including a pilgrim who was there from Iran, because Samarra contains a site holy to the Muslims. The article in the UK Telegraph says it was impossible to reconcile the two versions of the battle. The U.S. military acknowledged that the death toll was estimated rather than confirmed, and that no bodies had been collected. Who's lying? Who lies to these stories? Now, you know, we're Americans, so we're supposed to believe that the Iraqis always lie. The Germans, the Nazis always lie. The Japs always lie. The Communists always lie. The Sandinistas always lie. The Vietnamese always lie. The Iraqis always lie. We always tell the truth. So based on that, okay, 54 dead, and the dead... Some kind of magic happened. Their bodies went gone. And the village, not the villagers, but the people in this town, in the city, say, well, yeah, there was a fight here. Yeah, the American convoy that was hauling all this money, all these dinars, was attacked, probably by bandidos or whatever the Farsi equivalent is. What do they speak there? Farsi? No, they don't speak Farsi. What do they speak? Arabic? The Iranians speak Farsi because the Iranians are not Arabic. They're Persian. So reports are that some bandits, thugs, they knew what was on this convoy. 3 billion Iraqi dinars, which is like 100,000 British pounds, which is about 84 cents in American dollars, given how the dollar is going south. But this is being taken to a bank in the town center. And all of a sudden, there was an attack against the Americans, against the convoy, rocket-propelled grenades, mortar, small arms fire from rooftops, yada, 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 yada. The attack, according to the British press, lasted less than 20 minutes, with troops rapidly supported by 4 Apache attack helicopters. The U.S. military said that 2 teams of up to 30 Fedayeen were involved in the attack. And the Iraqi people say, you're crazier than hell. What you had there were a bunch of bandits trying to steal the money. And you got 8 civilians and 1 Iranian. So who do we believe? Well, I guess it really doesn't matter who we believe, right? It's not our war. Unless we have a relative there, and the relative comes home dead, and the nation goes about its business as if nothing happened, and Bush goes about his business as if nothing happened. Who do you believe? In Santa Barbara, sheriff's deputies and officials out there said, you probably heard the story the other day, yesterday, several wireless microphones were discovered outside the sheriff's department there. And it's being called the latest of several attempts by, quote, journalists, end quote, to surreptitiously get information on the Michael Jackson molestation case, right? They're dropping microphones, cordless microphones around. The mics were found in what's described as a brushy area where, I don't understand this, but here it is, where Sheriff's Department employees frequently take breaks. What are they doing out in the brushy area, huh? Smoking cigarettes? Oh, that makes sense, in a brushy area? Getting a little nooner? Well, that's probably more of the case. It's also where reporters are not normally allowed. But they found these little microphones, these little wireless mics. As you know, hundreds, literally hundreds of reporters and photographers swarmed like flies around a dung heap on November 20th at the sheriff's department there when Jackson was booked on these charges of suspicion of sexually molesting someone under 14. Anyway, in addition to the microphones,
Jackson and his lawyer, remember this, learned they were secretly videotaped by a camera hidden aboard the plane when Jackson traveled from Las Vegas to Santa Barbara to turn himself in. Somebody put a camera in there, a video camera. All right. Now, the person who sent me this story, because I usually don't find stories like this, Dan in Isla Vista, California, said, if the media can spend all that energy trying to secretly get evidence about Michael Jackson, I suggest that someone secretly plant microphones in the White House. Or maybe in the South Lawn, the Rose Garden, to see what's really going on there. And as Dan adds, that's the only way we're going to get any information out of the administration. Yeah, isn't it stunning? Isn't it incredible? Isn't it mind-boggling that hundreds of reporters will converge on the Santa Barbara or whatever the hell it is, Sheriff's Department out there, on the Michael Jackson story. But here we have a mass murderer, a serial killer in the White House, and a cadre of absolute fascist monsters operating out of the White House. And the only time you see reporters is when Bush hands out something, awards for NASCAR, or whatever the hell he was. I don't know if he was handing out rewards. I guess just, you know, goosing the NASCAR drivers. Hey, buddy, come over here, stand next to me. Let me pat you on the ass. I've always wanted to do that. You know, that kind of stuff. Hundreds of reporters will show up to get the dirt on Michael Jackson's story. And where it concerns, pick something. Depleted uranium. We are making Iraq glow in the dark. And we are going to kill and maim and wound and injure generations of Iraqis, not to mention our own guys, when they come home and have sex with their wives and try to have babies. And the babies come out with their spine across the room. But no, we don't get stories about that. We get stories about Michael Jackson and the microphones. Jesus, where do we live? A couple more here, and then I'm going to take your phone calls. A soldier has been reprimanded. You heard this. Will be discharged for marrying an Iraqi woman, a female doctor. That's according to his lawyer, Sergeant Sean Blackwell. He's 27 years old, being punished because here's the charge: not because he married an Iraqi woman, but because he divulged the time and location of where he would be to his bride and the Iraqi judge who married them. I'll be on the quarter over here at, let me see. I'll be out here at 1300 hours. I'll be on the corner, and you can come and marry us there. For doing that, this guy's being discharged. Now, there was talk about a possible court-martial for dereliction of duty and disobeying orders, but he's going to be thrown out of the military. His lawyer says the more they punish him, the more negative publicity the military likely will receive. He's guilty of falling in love. Now, there's a second guardsman. This was a double marriage. A corporal who is 37. A corporal, 37? You know this guy's probably an insurance salesman or a car salesman or I don't know, a computer specialist in IT. And he winds up in Iraq, right? 37 years old. You don't go into a combat zone when you're 37 at the rank of corporal. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. He was involved in the second marriage. There's a double marriage. He married the other Iraqi woman, who also happened to be a physician. But he is getting a divorce. He and his bride are divorcing under pressure from the Iraqi woman's parents. Now, the guy who's being drummed out of the military, his wife, has received anti-American death threats and has to leave Iraq by as soon as she can to go to Western Europe, where the couple could be reunited, and then it's going to be hell to get her into the United States. I mean, after all, she is an Iraqi. And if she is a practicing physician in Iraq, you know, and I know, that she was one of those people that had to titularly join the Ba'athist Party in order to practice her profession. School teachers, doctors, engineers, scientists, whomever. The hundreds of thousands of people that Paul Bremer has fired, has taken their jobs away from them, the occupier, because they were members of the Ba'athist Party. And the irony, of course, is the fact that nobody in Iraq could practice their profession under Saddam Hussein unless they were members of the Ba'athist Party, which means they didn't support Saddam. It was just what they had to do. So Paul Bremer comes in and says, well, you're all fired. So we can assume, can we not, that this doctor lady is a member of the Ba'athist, or was a member of the Ba'athist Party. Fat chance the American soon-to-be ex-soldier is going to have in getting her into the country.
our country. Well, Bush's country. No problem going to Europe. But bringing her here? The guy's lawyer says he's a little ticked off at the government right now. The lawyer says I'd hate for him to get a dishonorable discharge because he fell in love. A little ticked off.
Okay. Nothing worth having comes without some kind of fight. Gotta kick in the darkness till it bleeds daylight. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time. Lovers in a dangerous time.
Oh, hon, it's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. You'll sleep like
okay up there.
You'll sleep like
a... tissues.
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red nightie?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stubby head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
And tonight's winning jackpot numbers are... Jane, would you do the honors?
17, 6, 39, and...
Oh, cut. You sound awful.
Oh, my nose is runny. Head's all blocked up. I need my Alka-Seltzer Plus.
Only Alka-Seltzer Plus has an effervescent formula that breaks up nasal congestion and relieves your worst cold symptoms fast.
And the numbers are... Jane?
17, 6, 39, and 75.
Alka-Seltzer Plus breaks up your worst cold symptoms fast.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long, itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places, a ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Hi, this is Ed Zelenak, and I'm a lawyer. That's my 12-step program. And if you break out in a rash at the mere suggestion of talking to a lawyer, then you need to join in the Legal Huddle, where I'll be your Sunday morning quarterback as we make a 100-yard dash through the American legal system, where myths will be demystified and red tape will be shredded. Join me for mirth, merriment, and a little bit of contempt of court Sundays, 9 to 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk Oscar. About what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush.
Some of our weaker citizens suffer an addiction to talk radio that causes them to listen to that Mike Malloy person each night from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. We suggest you satisfy your Jones by listening to some of our morally upstanding, honest, and ethical talk show hosts like Dr. Laura, G. Gordon Liddy, Oliver North, and Rush Limbaugh. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Anaconda.
Budgie.
Camel.
Dick Dick.
Emu.
Frog.
Gopher.
Hyena.
Iguana.
Jaguar.
Cuda Mundi.
Llama.
Minx.
Animal Narwhal. Talk. We talk about what you do to your animals and what your animals do to you. Mark, Donna, and Dr. Brad answer all your animal questions from A to Z. Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network. Penguin.
Whale.
Rooster.
Seal.
Tortoise.
Vampire bat.
Zebra.
This one goes out to the one I've left behind.
Those who risk their lives for our liberty deserve to be fairly paid and fairly treatment.
Occupy my time.
God. Yeah, they deserve to be fairly paid and fairly treatment.
It is an embarrassment beyond belief, is it not? Dan is calling from Richmond, California. Hey, Dan.
Hey, I was reading the BBC News, and they said that 804 media channels were researched, and only four were opposed to war.
Yeah, we did that story on the program the other night. Yeah,
and I just want to let people know that we're not in a democracy anymore if we have something like that. You know, the statistics, you know, and this. Kind of sad.
It is indeed. But, of course, that's the liberal media for you, right?
Yeah, and it's funny how you mentioned the NASCAR racing with Bush.
Uh-huh.
You know, when I was at a boarding school, Hannah Boy Center in Sonoma, we just happened to drive through the NASCAR Daytona 500.
Mm-hmm.
And our mission was to find a black person or a Mexican person with my friends. And there were only three, and that's because they were in the van with me. So, other than that, we cannot find any.
No, it's a very white enterprise, NASCAR racing. When I worked at CNN here way back in 84, I had a friend, black guy, who in his spare time was struggling to become a NASCAR driver. He was an engineer at CNN, but he was also...
Oh, I feel a little intimidated myself if I, you know, to see everybody around me the same color, that's just kind of disturbing.
Yeah, I hear you. Dan, thanks for checking in. This guy, I'm drawing a blank on his name, Kathy, if you remember his I'm sorry, I just don't. But he was a good friend. Like I say, he was an engineer. And he was constantly looking for sponsors, somebody to sponsor him, because it cost a hell of a lot of money to run in NASCAR, to, first of all, to have the, you know, the crew and the mechanics, the vehicle, the entry fees, on and on and on. And McDonald's showed a little bit interest in him, but that was it. And here was a guy who he drove the stock car circuit here in the South, the dirt tracks, and had built up a pretty good reputation. Of course, he was seen in Alabama and Louisiana and Georgia and Florida as kind of an anomaly because he's a black guy. But he could not get a sponsor to be in NASCAR. And I wonder what happened. Okay, come on, you erudite audience. Email me his name. How would they know? Nobody's going to know his name. All right, stick around. When we come back, I have a lesbian story for you. You ready for this week's lesbian story? It's going to be very disturbing. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
my fellow Americans. This is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems some of you are still listening to that Mike Malloy person at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Many chronic Malloy listeners have found it helpful to repeatedly snap a little rubber band against the soft flesh of their wrists when they feel the un-American urge to turn on the Mike Malloy Show. The pain is only temporary, but it is nothing compared to the everlasting furnaces of brimstone hell you will experience if you continue listening to the Mike Malloy Show. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
Who says Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me?
True.
You hate me?
Put something on that says he's a great goof, liberal.
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. U.S. troops conducted a big raid near the northern city of Kirkuk on Tuesday, but a military spokesman denied that a top former deputy of Saddam Hussein was captured during the operation. A member of Iraq's governing council said that Izzat Ibrahim al-Douri, the top Iraqi fugitive after Saddam, was the target of the raid. The Americans have pointed to al-Douri as a coordinator of the insurgency against U.S. forces and last week offered a $10 million reward for information leading to his arrest. American troops killed 54 guerrillas in a fierce battle to fight off coordinated ambushes on armored convoys carrying large quantities of banknotes in the tense Iraqi town of Samarra. But confusion hung over the Samarra death toll, which a U.S. military spokesman at the town earlier put at 46. Military spokesman Brigadier General Mark Kimmett told a Baghdad news conference that 54 enemy combatants were killed in firefights that raged for most of Sunday afternoon in Samarra. Police said 8 civilians had also been killed, including an Iranian pilgrim. Doctors said they had only seen 6 bodies, but officials said this did not mean U.S. forces had misjudged the number of insurgents killed. The government is scrapping a rule imposed after the September 11th attacks that required men and boys from countries with suspected links to terrorism to register multiple times with U.S. officials. Asa Hutchinson, the Homeland Security Department's Undersecretary for Border and Transportation Security, said a new registration system that will apply to more foreigners will be in place next month, making the current program unnecessary. The Bush administration intends to lift its controversial duties on steel imports, most likely within the week, bowing to threats of retaliation from Europe and Asia, administration, industry, and congressional sources said on Monday. Ending the tariffs 16 months ahead of schedule to comply with a World Trade Organization ruling could spark a political backlash against President Bush in the pivotal steel-producing states of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia in advance of his re-election bid next year. Leo Gerard, president of the United Steelworkers of America Union, warned Bush could pay a price at the polls in next year's presidential elections if he lifted the tariffs. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
After 4 decades of pinching pennies, a million in all, a Mifflin County, Pennsylvania man decided that it was time to cash in his collection. It took several months of bank visits to bring in 37 buckets of pennies to be cashed, but by the end, Lynn Wagner ended up with $10,060. For IE America Network News, this is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
You don't want to miss the first pitch of the playoffs for the second year in a row, so you're probably scrambling for dinner. Hey, think fast. Think eggs, like an omelet with mushrooms, cheese, and tomatoes, or anything else you like. Omelets are delicious, easy to make, and ready in minutes, so you get to the game on time, see the first pitch, your team sweeps the playoffs, and goes on to win the championship. All thanks to the incredible edible egg. Think fast. Think eggs. For other quick dinner ideas, visit AEB.org, the American Egg Board.
Did you happen to see the dignity with which the Italian people honored their 19 soldiers who were killed in an attack in Iraq? All 19 coffins were draped in the Italian flag. Italy's president was present for a moving ceremony, and there was a day of national mourning. Contrast this show of dignity to our White House's cold avoidance of any public mourning of the more than 400 coffins that have come back to our country from George W.'s war in Iraq. Bush handlers say that they don't want him seen with the coffins of our dead soldiers, for that would be off message. Rather, the Bushites are pushing a cheery message, proclaiming that things are going according to plan in Iraq, with great progress being made in our glorious occupation. Not only do the Bushites stay on message, but their right-wing media apologists also try to put a smiley face on our losses there, as do Georgia's congressional parrots. For example, one of the blathering GOP Congress critters, George Nethercutt of Spokane, recently went to Iraq on the taxpayer's dime for 4 days. He then returned and dutifully offered this brilliant insight. The story of what we've done in Iraq is remarkable. It is a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day. One wonders, how would Nethercutt feel if one of those soldiers was his child or grandchild? And if one of Bush's daughters was a soldier coming home in a coffin, would he go off message to greet it? And if 400 children of his top campaign contributors had died over there, would we still be in Iraq? Indeed, if the children of the privileged had to go to war, would Bush, the Congress, the war contractors, the media barons, and the right-wing talk showers have been so gung-ho to put our soldiers there in the first place? This is Jim Hightower saying, Bush's handlers pride themselves in keeping him in a PR bubble, safely isolated from the consequences of his presidency. They might be fooling him, but they're not fooling us.
What do you think I like about commuting with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? Yeah, you're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network. Here, right now, Mike Malloy.
The words that I remember from my childhood still are true. That there's none so blind as those who will not see. I know you're out there somewhere.
Welcome back, 7:30 past the hour. We're at 800-TALK-YES. Let me share this email with you, then we'll come to your phone calls. And then we will get to the lesbian story. But this is from one of our frequent correspondents, Anna. Hi, Mike. This has nothing much to do with anything. It's just something that keeps bouncing around in my head. During the budding Michael Jackson media frenzy, I heard a story on one of the cable news networks. The report was about how Michael Jackson was freaking out on the airplane flying him to his arrest and was ordering the plane to fly to another country. But the pilots refused because they were afraid that the plane's electronics would be jammed, causing the plane to crash. Isn't that something? Anna writes, a news network reported that a plane flying off its flight plan could be brought down by sophisticated outside interference. Michael Jackson's plane must be so much more important than planes flying into buildings. War is peace, Anna. Yeah, you understand the point Anna's making, and I know the reports have been out there for a while about the planes that slammed into the trade towers and the Pentagon and so on and so forth, and I've made it pretty clear on this program, in my own mind, to my family members, that I do believe that George Bush and his thugs are deeply involved in this horrendous crime. And as far as the planes being guided by outside electronics, yeah, I think enough is certainly a possibility. And given the fact that this happened on George Bush's watch, it's... It could be said that it's raised from a probability to a possibility. Remember when this cowardly little tyrant said he hit the trifecta? Yeah. Okay, Jerry's been holding on forever. He's calling from Tulsa, Oklahoma. Hey, Jerry.
Hey, Mike. Regarding the convoy attack...
with the so-called 54 or 56 dead?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was watching a BBC-produced program on a it's kind of a European channel on the one of the educational thing channels
mm-hmm.
on cable,
mm-hmm.
and this was early Sunday morning. But they had several pictures of U.S. troops handing out $50 and $100 bills to citizens,
mm-hmm.
and a reporter was saying over the film footage that. U.S. government finds it's cheaper to bribe each of the citizens with a $50 stipend each month than to gainfully employ them. Well, with a $50 stipend each month, that is pretty correct as I mm-hmm. remember it, and I don't remember the rest of it, but it was something to the effect of then to find them, then to keep them gainfully employed, so
yeah.
to speak.
Yeah, I think I remember hearing something about that in the American press very briefly.
I think early on.
Several months ago that
okay.
There were payoffs going on just
right.
because we were not interested in democracy or nation building or building an economy in Iraq. Hell, this group of thugs can't handle that in this country.
Right.
What they're interested in is to be there, extract the resources, have military, military
Bush,
bases.
For the Bush family. And you know what they've done what I've heard they've done since then of course is they've replaced the Iraqi or the U.S. money they're handing out with Iraqi backed dollar note with dollar backed Iraqi
mm-hmm.
notes
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and my opinion was the reason why they were doing that was that they wouldn't have the TV pictures of soldiers handing out U.S. bills because that's so obvious you
yeah.
know and bribery or whatnot.
Well, they're getting away with it whatever they're doing, Jerry.
Michael, do you have any Schadenfreude for Mr. Eisner?
I do not. Well, I do. I hope he goes down in flames. I think Michael Eisner is a gross distortion and mistake for not just Disney, but for ABC Radio and Television. That's what
you've heard the news over the weekend there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All the members of the board of directors are resigning. Of course,
family hates him.
Yeah, it's a money deal. It's a money deal. You know, way beyond my comprehension. We're talking hundreds of millions, if not billions, of dollars. But also, Eisner. It's pretty well known that Eisner is just a nasty ass. You know, he's just
really?
An arrogant nasty ass. And I think a lot of people who work around him are just getting tired of it. And you know, they usually strike when the stock price of a corporation starts to go down or...
Well, they're such a liability. The neocons are such a liability to this country. And as a matter of fact, I also heard over that this war is going to cost each American household $10,000 for the year 1994.
94?
I mean, I'm sorry, 2004.
2004, yeah. Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we're still paying off Gulf War I.
And last thing, what the Dems should do regarding NASCAR in reaction?
Mm-hmm.
Sponsor their own NASCAR.
They're not that creative.
Call it Beelzebub.
No. The Democratic Party is run by people like Tom Daschle and some of these other folks, and they're not that creative. Thanks for checking in, Jerry.
Ciao.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. This is from Lafayette, Louisiana. This is the lesbian story. A couple of women there who are lesbians, they have a 7-year-old son. What is it, second grade? Okay. So here are the cast of characters. Mom and a 7-year-old boy. Now here's the story. After this boy, 7-year-old kid, was scolded in front of his classmates and sent to a school behavioral clinic for answering another child's questions about his lesbian moms, the ACLU yesterday demanded that the school expunge the boy's disciplinary records and stop restricting him from talking about his family with other students. The kid is named Marcus McLaurin. He was waiting in line to go to recess at Ernest Gallet Elementary School when a classmate asked him about his mom and dad. 7-year-old Marcus said, "Well, I don't have a mom and a dad. I've got two moms." When the other child asked why, Marcus told him it was because his mom is gay. Both his moms. Then the other child asks, what does that mean? And 7-year-old Marcus says, gay is when a girl likes another girl. Now, Marcus's teacher heard this. Brought him up in front of the class, or pulled him around out of line. He was in front of all his classmates and started scolding him. Telling him in front of the classmates that gay is a bad word. Now, I could give you some bad words on this radio program. I do occasionally, don't I, Kathy? To the point where Kathy goes, "Oh, Jesus, don't do it again." Son of a bitch is a bad word.
Okay, all righty. Gotcha.
But gay is not a bad word, is it? The teacher said gay's a bad word, and young Marcus should never say it at school. Never. And then send him to the principal's office instead of letting him go out to recess. Wouldn't you like to get this teacher and just do evil things? Is it a man or a woman teacher? I don't know. I have no idea. Oh, my God. Oh, it just makes my skin crawl that people like this are teaching children. Okay, so it's Lafayette, Louisiana, right? Who cares? Well, if you live in Lafayette, Louisiana, you care, or you should care. If you don't care, oh, never mind. Anyway, Marcus's teacher scolded him in front of his classmates, told him the word is gay is a bad word, sent him to the principal's office instead of letting him go out to recess. The story doesn't stop there. The following week, the school required the 7-year-old to attend a special behavioral clinic at 6:45 in the morning, where he was forced to repeatedly write, "I will never use the word gay in school again." Can you believe this? Can you believe this story? Can you believe I'm actually sitting here telling you this story? Yeah. On a student behavior contract form that Marcus had to fill out and give to his mother about the incident, the kid asked to sign a contract, "I'll never use bad words again," and then take it home and have his parent sign it. Well, guess what? His parent happens to be a lesbian. Uh-oh. On this form he had to take home for his mom to sign, Marcus wrote that the thing he did wrong was that he said bad words. That's why he had to go to the behavioral clinic, is what they call it, in the sick, screwed-up school. A behavioral clinic for a kid who says, "Yeah, my moms are gay, and that means when a girl likes a girl." Oh, you little bastard. Oh, you little filthy bastard. Oh, you little sexually deviant little filthy bastard. Don't you know Jesus is going to reach down from heaven and snap your head off, kick it into hell where the demons will use it as a soccer ball? You evil little 7-year-old punk. That must have been what was going through the mind of the sick, degenerate teacher. Marcus had to write, "I said bad words," on the form that went home for his mom's signature. A handwritten note at the top of the form from Marcus's teacher further explained, quote, "He explained to another child that you are gay and what being gay means." And on the behavior report signed by the assistant principal, the teacher wrote, Marcus decided to explain to another child in his group that his mom is gay. He told the other child that gay is when a girl likes a girl. This kind of discussion is not acceptable in my classroom. I feel that parents should explain things of this nature to their own children. Can't you just see her? Can't you see her? Huh? Can't you see this demon emerge from this alleged school teacher? Can't you see the skirt hanging around her hips start to quiver and a huge tail flip out underneath and her shoe, her feet pop out of her shoes and there's cloven hooves? And all of a sudden the wig that she's wearing pops off and horns come out of her of the top of her head. Doesn't she sound like a demon? This had nothing to do about sex. He was talking about his two moms. Can you believe this? Can you believe this story?
The deadpan of the cops chokes him up the outline where the boy first drops. Beware the Holy Trinity, church and state and law. For every death the virus gets more deadly than before. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want to love in times like these. Homophobia, the worst disease. You can't love who you want.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
There are over 200 laxatives on the market today, and the one doctors recommend most is Colace Stool Softener Laxatives. That's because over the years, doctors have learned stimulant-free Colace capsules provide comfortable relief their patients can rely on. If you suffer from occasional bouts of constipation, try Colace capsules. If you do, we're sure we'll receive another important endorsement. Yours. For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle, and you're really in a pickle, then you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
Tune into IE America Radio Network weekdays for the best in progressive talk radio. The Tom Hartman Show.
Greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth and justice, believers in the American way from coast to coast. You're listening to the nation's largest nationally syndicated daytime progressive talk show.
Family Talk.
This is Family Talk with Dr. Mike Riera.
The All-American Talk Radio Show.
All-American Talk Radio with Peter B. Collins.
The Mike Malloy Show.
I know I have a reputation of being fiery, hard-edged, passionate, outspoken, opinionated, and sometimes explosive. And that reputation is well-deserved because I am. I'm a liberal with a microphone, and that makes me dangerous.
For more information on these shows and other shows, or to listen live, visit us on the web at ieamericaradio.com.
Hi, this is Bobby Likas, host of Bobby Likas Car Clinic, inviting you to join me Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern here on IE America Radio Network. People love to talk cars, and local sponsors know that. But IE America Radio has other shows as well. Shows that your listeners will love, that will attract local sponsors, and shows that will set your station above the rest. Go to IEAmericaRadio.com and take a look and listen for yourself to see what's available. That's IEAmericaRadio.com.
Children well, their fathers help, did slowly go by.
It's not your and father's talk radio, it's Mike Malloy.
On your dream, the one they fix, the one you know by. Don't you ever.
I don't believe you've got that song in your library. 24 past the hour. The lesbian mom story from Lafayette, Louisiana. I spent a week one night in Lafayette, Louisiana. Nothing to do there. I went to the library, looked at the book, the Bible. Went to down the street to a Taco Mac. That was fun. So, 7-year-old kid, second grader, has two moms, lesbians, and I'm sure that the moms have explained to the kid that, look, son, Marcus, the world is full of psychopaths, and you're going to run into them, and it's going to start probably in church or in a public school. That's where it's going to start, because we live in the South, where most of the Protestants down here are Pentecostals or Evangelicals, and they hate us, and they are vile, and someday Jesus will kill them all, and grind them up and make dog food out of them. But they think they're Christians. They are vile, snotty people, and they're going to come after you, Marcus, even though you're 7 years old. Doesn't make any difference. So I'm sure the moms have explained to him. Oh, now, they probably didn't say that. They probably said, yeah, Marcus, mommy and mommy, we love each other, and that's kind of the way it is. So the kid tells another kid who asks him about his mom and dad, and the kid said, Marcus says, well, I don't have a mom and dad. I have a mom and mom. Why do you have a mom and mom? Because they're gay. What is gay? The gay is when a girl likes another girl. So the teacher, isn't this a wonderful teacher? Wouldn't you love to have your kid within 5 miles of this bitch, huh? Wouldn't you? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Me too. You evil little boy! Jesus will kill you and your mom and mom for this. Do you understand? And then they send him to a behavioral clinic and have him write over and over and over, I will never use the word gay in school again. Deck the halls with boughs of holly, fa-la-la-la-la. What's the line in there? Don we now are beep apparel. Fa-la-la-la-la-la-la-la, oh, to hell with it.
But teacher, you said never to say the word gay, and now the whole school is saying, Don, we now are gay apparel. My mommy has gay apparel, and so does my other mommy.
I won't have this in my classroom. Well, the ACLU in Louisiana has written a letter to the school. It is the Ernest Gallet Elementary School in Youngsville, Louisiana, just outside Lafayette. And I'm not going to share the entire letter with you. I'll try to post this in my website. It's all full of legal this and case that, you know, trying to explain to these jackasses in the school that what they did is illegal. And it's full of Supreme Court cases and so on and so on and so on. What a shame. I hate to say, I hate my country. Because I don't. But you know, the more of this stuff that you see day in and day out and day in and day out in Bush's America, and here in the South, I've lived in the South for 35 years. Maybe it's time to leave the South. Maybe that's a problem. You know, being a white person in the South, being a white liberal in the South who is fully armed is weird. Who drives a pickup truck. You know, it's weird. Maybe it's time to leave the South. Go to ACLU.org if you don't want to wait, and you'll find this story.
And if we poison our children with hate, then the hard life is all that we'll know. And there ain't no place in this world for these kids to go. It's a hard life.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days, and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately, they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
Animal Talk, your animalological super information highway, helping you with your pets. Every Sunday night, we take your calls, help your pets, always give away some prizes, and talk to celebrities, like from It Is Enough, Dick Van Patten.
I've been listening to your show. It's fascinating. It's very interesting.
We're nuts, aren't we?
I can see why people would call you up. You really know what you're talking about. It's terrific. Very, very informative.
Uh-oh, we got him on the wrong channel.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, 7 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Central, on the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. Some of you may be alarmed by subversive propaganda spread by that liberal media filter, Mike Malloy, who distorts the truth every weeknight at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Rest assured, our sources at Fox News confirm that we have a fabulous, booming economy and enjoy daily glorious victories in the numerous fronts of the ongoing terror wars. And besides, any problems we're experiencing are all Clinton's fault. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
He's a liberal with a microphone, and that makes him dangerous. Here's Mike Malloy.
27 before the hour. Just a quick program note here. The Earthwatch segments, the little two-minute segments we do on this program, the one you just heard about, actually he's talking about bovine spongiform how do you say it, Kathy? Encephalopathy. Now, you have to open your mic so we can hear you.
Encephalopathy.
Okay, thank you. BSE. That's what the guy's talking about. When he said it was just discovered in last spring or summer, whatever he said, he's maybe in the U.S., but he's kind of wrong. There was a book written in 1995 called Deadly Feasts. And what he's describing, the non-life form that causes this disease, is not a bacteria, it's not a virus, it's what's called a prion, P-R-I-O-N, a prion. And it is, the way to describe it is to say it's crystalline in shape, and it's reproductive. You know, crystals can reproduce, God only knows how. And it causes the utter and absolute destruction of the brain. And in the book Deadly Feasts, they believe it came from, it was called Kuru, K-U-R-U, in primitive human tribes who practiced a form of cannibalism. Well, I guess there's only one form of cannibalism if you eat other people. But it was, according to the book Deadly Feast, this disease originated in Borneo or New Guinea, where it was common practice to eat the brains of your defeated enemy. And the disease showed up. It's mad cow disease is what it is. It showed up in England a couple of years ago. You know what happened there. And Scotland and in the U.K. Been a couple, one reported case here a couple of months ago in Canada. And in the United States, of course, our media keeps this very, very quiet, because if this stuff gets into the food chain in the United States, into the meat chain, that's kind of it. Now, it doesn't show up in humans. What was it, Kathy? 20, 25 years after exposure to defeat this, it's referred to in humans as Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease. It's bovine spongiform encephalopathy. In cow. That's mad cow disease. And you've seen those videos. We also have those videos of the cow staggering and falling in its own excrement and dying. And that's what the guy's talking about on Earthwatch. If go to Amazon.com, I hate them, but go to Amazon.com or someplace, and you can find the book Deadly Feasts. It's a book well worth reading if you want to scare the hell out of yourself. We've read that. Gosh, we're 8 years ahead of the curve, Kathy. We read that 8 years ago, didn't we? 7 years ago. Put me off hot dogs for a whole week. No, it's been a long time since I've had a hot dog. But anyway, all right, where are we? We're talking about the two mommies story in Louisiana, and Michael is calling from Phoenix, Arizona. Hey, Michael.
Good evening, Mike.
How you doing?
Good, real good. It's not like they have any homosexuals in southern Louisiana there.
Oh, God, no. I mean, New Orleans?
Around Mardi Gras.
No. It's just somebody's wild imagination. They come from other parts of the country.
Yeah.
They're not homegrown.
And when they discuss World War II at this school in Louisiana,
yeah.
When they talk about who dropped the atomic bomb,
yeah.
What did they call the airplane?
The Enola Blank.
The Enola Smithers.
The Enola, don't say that word, gay. Little boy, we'll make you write it again 1,000 times. Your mommy's a pervert.
And in music class, when they talk about soul music,
yeah.
They listen to Marvin Hetero.
Not Marvin Gaye. No. Yeah, well, you see, the kid is not allowed to say the word gay in her classroom ever again. The world is just chock-a-block of sick people, and it seems like most of them migrate here. In the U.S. They come here. Hello?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I hate that. You know, stories like that, I cannot believe that a seven-year-old child, whose brain is still growing, I mean, really hasn't developed all the prefrontal lobe space that he's going to have. This kid is still developing, still growing, still not just developmentally, but I'm talking about physically. And you have some evil bitch like this come along and tell him that describing in his seven-year-old way his mommy and his mommy is evil and sick and perverted. I mean, what is that, Michael?
Well, that's the kind of thing that if the shoe was on the other foot, the Christian Taliban would be all over it. You know, some teacher said, well, there's no God or something. Oh, my Lord. you know.
I know.
But, you know. It's pretty sick.
It's so much fun here in the South. I swear to God it is. I know this kind of stuff happens. I assume it happens in other parts. It might even happen in Arizona. But I will tell you, here in the South, in Louisiana and Arkansas and Mississippi and Alabama and Georgia and South Carolina, oh, my God, some of the things that go on down here, it's like bad Shakespeare or good soap opera or sick, perverted, ingrown. Too many generations of first cousins marrying each other down here. I guess that's what happened.
Well, I don't want to stereotype y'all, but is it that people feel more comfortable being open about their attitudes? Because I'm sure you can find racism everywhere, but maybe people elsewhere just aren't open about it.
You know, the problem in the South, as far as I'm concerned, and this is from somebody that's lived here, I said 35 years, I've actually been here 40, is this degenerate brand of Christianity that just bites at people's ankles down here. It is, you know, from the snake handlers to these bigots who preach divisiveness every day, every Sunday in their crappy mega churches. They worship the God of money and mammon. They don't worship Christ. They say they do. They do not. They defile Christ. And I blame it on the Southern brand of Christianity. I was brought up in Southern baptism, so I know exactly what I'm talking about. It's a real perverted form of Christianity, very perverted.
Yeah, I heard the guy who's the head of the Southern Baptist Seminary on Fresh Air, show that Terry Gross did about a year ago, and it was pretty frightening stuff.
Oh, it is. It's very. Then you check out Bob Jones University, so-called, over here in South Carolina. It's just all over the South. It's a blight. Southern Baptist and Southern Methodism, too. Kathy's sitting across the window here from me. She's brought up Methodist. I was brought up Southern Baptist. So we know what we're talking about. These are very, very... I'm not talking about all of them. I'm not talking about all of them. But for the most part, very sick people. The Southern Baptist, the only reason there was a Southern Baptist organization, that was to keep the Negroes from going to church, for Christ's sake, with the delicate, oh-so-special white people.
Sure.
And it's awful. I don't mean to stereotype either, but here in the South, being white and being a Southern Baptist and being generationally rooted here in the South means you're going to have certain attitudes and you're going to practice certain deviant behaviors. And one of those deviant behaviors is telling a 7-year-old child that because his mother is gay, he's going to be disciplined and not allowed to use the word. It's pretty sick. It really is.
Yeah, that's pretty sad. I remember when I was in high school, not even, 7, 8 years old, but in high school, I had a history teacher who tried to put some right-wing ideas in our heads about the Civil War and about states' rights and so on. And I went on thinking those things for a number of years until I got into college and, learned the truth.
Mm-hmm.
States' rights was just a fig leaf for we want our slaves.
Yeah,
damn it.
Yeah, it was keep the Negro down, and as far as the women, oh no, they ain't going nowhere either. So
teachers can definitely have an effect on kids.
Profound effect. Profound effect.
It takes years for them to get past, and it's not right.
Yeah, I hear you. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
All right, sir. Yeah, and I'm allowed to say that. Just like my gay friends allow me to use the word faggot, my black friends allow me to use the N-word. Kathy is going, don't say it! And because I'm a white southerner...
You ain't from the South, Mike. You were brought up in Ohio.
Yeah, I lived there till I was 19 and then split. I've been in the South ever since.
Yeah, I don't make you no southerner. Son of a bitch, you Yankee. You ain't no Southerner.
I've lived here long enough to understand the Southern mentality, black and white. And this is a corrupted part of the United States of America. It is. It truly is. And it goes back to the War of Northern Aggression, as it's referred to here. The Civil War, the war between the states, slavery, too much heat, not enough air conditioning. Sorry, that's just the way it goes. If you don't like it, if you're a white southerner, you don't like what I'm saying, I don't give a damn. You know, switch to a different program. I don't care. You know, you want to be in denial, go ahead. But any honest white southerner will tell you the truth. And what has perverted this part of the country has been racism and the sick, degenerate Christian religion as it's practiced here. I'm not talking about Christianity as a whole. It has its good points, like any mythology does. But the kind of southern brand of Christianity that's practiced here in the South, coupled with racism and sexism and violence and drunkenness, and it's just, I don't know, man.
Boy, you need to move out of our part of the country. We're going to come and whip your ass and run you out on a rail, boy. We're going to make you squeal like a pig.
Well, don't forget, I'm heavily armed. And I know how to shoot. Woo! Leah is calling from Phoenix. Hey, Leah.
Hi, Mike.
Hi.
I've called the show once before. I just was listening to your caller from Phoenix, and it just so happened that my daughter, who is almost 16, came home from high school today and told me that there were a group of boys in her math class that were sitting around saying that all the people with AIDS should be put on an island and killed so they could give each other AIDS. Mm. And my daughter came home really, really mad that she was having to listen to this kind of stuff, and the teachers do nothing. It's pervasive everywhere.
Yeah. It's getting sicker and sicker in this country. When you look at the numbers who support Bush, you look at somebody like Tom DeLay, who is a demon from some religion's hell. You look at people like Trent Lott, George Bush, the entire Bush family, Rush Limbaugh. You look at what passes for a proper or correct thinking in this country. And it's scary. I don't know. Your daughter is in high school?
She's in high school. We live in a suburb of Phoenix. And this kind of ridicule is heard a lot. And I'm not degrading any particular religion, but we live in a very, very strong Mormon community.
Yeah.
And, you know...
How do you teach your daughter to cope? What do you teach your daughter, Leah?
Well, I talk to my kids a lot, and, you know, my kids tend to tell people don't get my mom started because I get off on, you know, my tangents about certain things, but I've always just taught them tolerance for other people. All my kids are tolerant about whether, you know, you have functional problems with learning. There's a child that's very smart in my other daughter's class who answers the math questions all the time, and the other kids ridicule him because he's smart. You know, so, I mean, I just have to teach them tolerance at home. I talk about it all the time. We've had conversations about homosexuality and about sex since my kids were little. This is not something that we ignore in my house.
But how do you sustain your children? I mean, being a parent, I'm a parent, I'm a grandparent. And peer pressure, when a kid is out there, a lot of times a kid hears other kids talking about a certain thing, and that's going to have more of an effect, albeit temporary, than what mom or dad says. So I'm trying to remember, my youngest now is 25, and I'm trying to remember when he was in high school or middle school, how we dealt with this. And having sent him to school here in Decatur, Georgia, which, believe it or not, is a very liberal, a progressive community. It's where Emory University is. A lot of gay people live here, a lot of blacks, a lot of Latinos, a lot of whites, and a lot of Asians. It's a real mix. And he didn't have to deal with that to the extent that I have heard from other parents in metro Atlanta who sent their kids to public schools. And my kid went to a public school here in Decatur, Georgia. So I'm just wondering, how do you gird your children against this stuff when they go out into the world?
I think the difference with my kids is that they've never been in the popular clique type groups.
Mm-hmm.
They've always kind of set themselves apart, and they've never succumbed to peer pressure when it comes to being uncompassionate, not being compassionate, or being a bully or anything like that. And my daughter that came home with that information today has always been the kid that gets picked on. So she just naturally looks at it from that point of view. But I think because my kids are not in the cliquish popular peer pressure groups, that they have a better advantage at sending that off because they don't fit into the cliques.
Well,
none of my kids do.
Well, I think also you're to be applauded, congratulated, whatever, on teaching your children tolerance and teaching your children to... to be what they are. Good for
well,
you.
You know, you have to talk to them. I have my other I have so many kids in high school right now, but my other daughter was telling me that her teacher wants her to read about war all the time, and that's boring for her. And I said, well, look at it this way, Kristen. I said, you know, you have a boyfriend who's about to graduate from high school. Your sister's boyfriend just graduated from high school, and in 3 years, 4 years, your brother will graduate from high school, and they're talking about bringing the draft back. I said, you think you don't want to listen about war, and you don't want to read about war, and you don't want to inform yourself about it? You think about that when they send your boyfriend off to war.
Or your daughter.
Or, yeah, and she changed her tune completely. She goes, oh, they're going to do that again? And well, I said, you betcha, they're talking about it. They've already had the Bar Association asking for people to sign up for the draft board.
Yeah. Well, good for you, Leah. Good
for
you.
So you just got to keep the conversation going. You got to keep it going all the time, and it can't be one-sided.
That's,
you have to talk about all sides.
That's for sure. Leah, thanks. I'm glad you called tonight. Thanks for checking in.
Thanks, Mike. It's always a pleasure to listen to you.
Hey, it's good to have a phone call like yours. Take care.
Why you want to feel really fast. I mean, the instant maximum strength Mylan's a liquid hits your throat, you can feel it rushing right to where you need it.
Ah, the cool liquid hits the back of your throat, and you know you're feeling something
velvety smooth, soothing that burning inside you. Mylan's wonderful, wet, drenching sensation
restores and refreshes in a most glorious fashion.
Try maximum strength Mylan's.
Soothing at the
speed of life.
When Ann and Mike began looking for their dream home, someone else was there to help make it a reality. While Ann took virtual tours on Realtor.com, someone was there to check comparable listings. While Mike was searching for their homeowner's policy, someone was there to preview houses as they came on the market. And when Ann and Mike found their dream, someone else was there to make sure it didn't slip away. When you're ready to buy a home, work with someone who'll work with you. We're Realtors. Real estate is our life. Only Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, sildenafil citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Hey, Jim, how you doing?
I'm
Tired of this crappy job.
What? I thought you loved this job. You have a company car. You even have a expense account. What's the problem?
But I have to listen to all this junk radio, and I miss all my favorite political talk shows like Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins. I have to beat a stupid job.
Why don't you listen to it on your computer like me?
Because for some stupid reason, I have to pay attention to what's going on at work or something like that. I don't remember. I wasn't listening. All I know is that I'm pretty cranky when I miss my shows.
You think?
I should just go over there and tell him that I'm not coming to work until I listen to my shows, and if he's got a problem with it, then we can go outside.
Hold on there. Just listen to the best in political talk on Sundays.
The what?
The best in political talk on Sundays from 10 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time. You can hear the best of Tom Hartman and Peter B. Collins.
Really? Well, that's better than picking a fight with the boss.
Yeah, you'll keep your job and your health.
What? You don't think I can take him?
He's big, dude.
I would waste him.
Yeah, right.
That's the best of political talk, Sunday nights from 10 to midnight Eastern Time on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman. I'm calling for a return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy that this country was founded on when corporations had to answer to the people and couldn't buy off politicians, where fair play wasn't a code phrase for the rich getting more and working and middle management people getting less, where there was a social contract that people's basic needs would be taken care of because that's what we do in a community, in a nation that was founded on justice and fairness, not on materialism and greed. Where people could work to get ahead, but at the same time, we don't leave people starving in the streets. The eternal question of this program is, are we advancing democracy or are we advancing corporatism?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Feeling left out by right-wing talk radio? You found a home with Mike Malloy.
Five before the hour. Right after the break, the top of the hour, when we come back, something I want to say about Bart Cop. You guys know that website, bartcop.com. I'm sure you do. So stick around for that. Bob is calling from Richton Park, Illinois. Hey, Bob.
Hi, Mike.
Yeah.
You know how the Republicans have their political convention just before 9/11 so everyone can go over and kind of give great patriotic speeches at Ground Zero at the third anniversary?
Yeah, you mean just before September 11th. You said May.
Right, September 11th. I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. Yes, I know. They're planning it, what, in the first week in September? Or
8th or 9th. I think it ends right at 9/11.
Yeah, it's so bad, but anyway, yeah, I know they're going to do that.
The Illinois, a long-standing Illinois law, says that the candidate's name has to be in by August 30th.
But these are Republicans. They are not subject to the same laws that you are.
Well, it's on the books. And the Republicans have been kissing rear ends all over the place of Democrats trying to get the law changed.
Mm-hmm.
So far, they haven't succeeded.
Wouldn't that be fun if Bush wasn't on the ballot in Illinois?
I think it would be great. I think that people should get behind them like they got behind the Texas legislators for running out of Texas so they wouldn't have to change the voting areas.
Well, I think, like I say, I lived in Illinois for 3.5 years, and I know, I lived in Chicago, and I know, or I should know, that that law is on the books. But again, these are Republicans, Bob. They don't have to do what you and I have to do or what normal people have to do, and that is obey the law and, be decent, be kind, be nice. They're Republicans. They can be as ugly and hateful and devious and lying and cheating and sneaking as they want, and we are supposed to sit back and be quiet about it. Now, the only time Republicans might be brought to task is if one of them, one of the male Republicans, has a girlfriend and is married to somebody else and they have oral sex in the Oval Office on occasion. That is grounds for, if not a firing squad, certainly impeachment.
It would have to be gay sex or you'd still get by with it.
Well, you're probably right there. But I did say oral sex. I didn't say, whether it was hetero or not. Bob, thanks for checking in, pal.
You're welcome.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. Well, that was nasty. We just lost all of our family listeners in where, Kathy? Santa Fe? I don't know. All right, we'll be back. Something to say about Bart Cop when we come back, so stick around. I'm Mike Malloy.
Listening to Mike Malloy on the IE America Radio Network. Copyright 2003.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years on them.
Well,
yeah, just a few more years on them.
No. I'm talking about now.
Like the tread on a tire.
Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
When I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber. You go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Don Waller in New York. American troops killed 54 guerrillas in a fierce battle to fight off coordinated ambushes on armored convoys carrying large quantities of banknotes in the tense Iraqi town of Samarra. But confusion hung over the Samarra death toll, which a U.S. military spokesman at the town earlier put at 46. Military spokesman Brigadier General Mark Kimmett told a Baghdad news conference that 54 enemy combatants were killed in firefights that raged for most of Sunday afternoon in Samarra. Police said 8 civilians had also been killed, including an Iranian pilgrim. Doctors said they had only seen 6 bodies, but officials said this did not mean U.S. forces had misjudged the number of insurgents killed. U.S. troops conducted a big raid near the northern city of Kirkuk on Tuesday, but a military spokesman denied that a top former deputy of Saddam Hussein was captured during the operation. A member of Iraq's governing council said that Izzat Ibrahim al-Douri, the top Iraqi fugitive after Saddam, was the target of the raid. The Americans have pointed to al-Douri as a coordinator of the insurgency against U.S. forces and last week offered a $10 million reward for information leading to his arrest. The government is scrapping a rule imposed after the September 11th attacks that required men and boys from countries with suspected links to terrorism to register multiple times with U.S. officials. Asa Hutchinson, the Homeland Security Department's Undersecretary for Border and Transportation Security, said a new registration system that will apply to more foreigners will be in place next month, making the current program unnecessary. The Bush administration intends to lift its controversial duties on steel imports, most likely within the week, bowing to threats of retaliation from Europe and Asia, administration, industry, and congressional sources said on Monday. Ending the tariffs 16 months ahead of schedule to comply with a World Trade Organization ruling could spark a political backlash against President Bush in the pivotal steel-producing states of Ohio, Pennsylvania, and West Virginia in advance of his re-election bid next year. Leo Gerard, president of the United Steelworkers of America Union, warned Bush could pay a price at the polls in next year's presidential elections if he lifted the tariffs. More after this.
Military veterans deserve better. They must wait endlessly for basic health care from the Department of Veterans Affairs. If you or a military veteran you know is one of the many heroes waiting for VA health care, the American Legion wants to tell your story to your elected officials in Washington, D.C.
Concerned citizens calling a publicized toll-free number to report injured and dead manatees have instead been given offers to chat with fantasy girls in exchange for a credit card number. The Florida Fish and Wildlife Commission number changed years ago, but the old 800 number is still posted on websites, boater education signs, and park brochures. This is Don Waller in New York.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
While Mike was putting up his own for sale sign, someone was helping his neighbors, John and Diane, with plans to sell their home. As Mike spent Saturday figuring out legal agreements and guessing his home's value, someone was preparing a counteroffer so John could help at the school fundraiser. And while Mike and his wife were reevaluating their asking price for the third time, someone was closing the sale on John and Diane's home. Work with someone who'll work with you. We're realtors. Real estate is our life.
Did you happen to see the dignity with which the Italian people honored their 19 soldiers who were killed in an attack in Iraq? All 19 coffins were draped in the Italian flag. Italy's president was present for a moving ceremony, and there was a day of national mourning. Contrast this show of dignity to our White House's cold avoidance of any public mourning of the more than 400 coffins that have come back to our country from George W.'s war in Iraq. Bush handlers say that they don't want him seen with the coffins of our dead soldiers, for that would be off message. Rather, the Bushites are pushing a cheery message, proclaiming that things are going according to plan in Iraq, with great progress being made in our glorious occupation. Not only do the Bushites stay on message, but their right-wing media apologists also try to put a smiley face on our losses there, as do Georgia's congressional parrots. For example, one of the blathering GOP Congress critters, George Nethercutt of Spokane, recently went to Iraq on the taxpayer's dime for 4 days. He then returned and dutifully offered this brilliant insight. The story of what we've done in Iraq is remarkable. It is a better and more important story than losing a couple of soldiers every day. One wonders, how would Nethercutt feel if one of those soldiers was his child or grandchild? And if one of Bush's daughters was a soldier coming home in a coffin, would he go off message to greet it? And if 400 children of his top campaign contributors had died over there, would we still be in Iraq? Indeed, if the children of the privileged had to go to war, would Bush, the Congress, the war contractors, the media barons, and the right-wing talk showers have been so gung-ho to put our soldiers there in the first place? This is Jim Hightower saying, Bush's handlers pride themselves in keeping him in a PR bubble, safely isolated from the consequences of his presidency. They might be fooling him, but they're not fooling us.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie. Yeah. Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows when you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Seven past the hour. A couple of emails here very quickly from Kevin about the NASCAR story in Bush. Kevin writes, I think NASCAR is so popular among Republicans because it has the highest death rate of any major sport I can think of. I bet some Republicans would love to bring back the gladiators. Probably true. Rob emailed in, Mike, as a Southerner and a white liberal, I have to totally agree with your comments tonight. I, too, have wondered if it would be better to leave the South for other places that are more tolerant. However, my job gives me the opportunity to travel throughout the U.S. and at times internationally. I'm saddened to say that although the Deep South is the worst, there is nowhere in the U.S. that I've found utopia. In the end, there are dividers everywhere. We simply must be strong enough to overcome. Yeah, that's true. I know that. You know, I've lived in the Midwest. There's probably not a state in the union, with the exception of Idaho, that I haven't been to. And you know, Rob's right. It's just here in the South. It is what it is. And if you live in the South, you know what I'm talking about. And from Robert, Mike, what is telling about the story with the kid with the two mommies is that the school sent the 7-year-old to a behavioral clinic to write over and over, "I will not say the word gay." This punishment is an antiquated and archaic form of Skinnerism, you know, B.F. Skinner, based on Pavlovian concepts around behavior modification. This form of socialization and educational psychology went out with the lobotomizing of rebellious young black women in the South. Well, that was stopped in the 80s, or is it still going on? Somewhere in Mississippi, maybe. That was South Carolina. I think the story came out. Wasn't it South Carolina? No, that was forced sterilization on black women, young black women who got pregnant out of wedlock. And when was it? In the 50s, 60s, 70s, whatever. The story, when we moved back here from Chicago, the story broke one day. Kind of like the Tuskegee experiments on syphilis, where black men were injected with the syphilis germ, never told about it, and then monitored for years. I've said it before, had I been born an American of African descent in this country, I never would have seen my 30th birthday. About Bart Cop, you know, I've said before, that is the second best site on the Internet. In its way, it's the best. There's a uniqueness to Bart Cop. I think Democratic Underground has the best chat room. What, Kathy? Message board. I'm sorry. Do I say chat room? I'm sorry. I'm just so unsophisticated. Message board. And our message board, we're up there. We're in the top five now, I think. Aren't we? But Bart Cop is one of the best sites on the Internet. It's been around since God was a teenager. And he had a thing there yesterday. Have you considered subscribing to Bart Cop? He does a radio show now. And I've heard the show, and it's not live and interactive. You have to download it, right, or whatever. But it is some of the damnedest radio I've ever heard. It is great. And Bart Cop wrote a thing. November was the worst fundraising month since I stopped getting a paycheck in February. And the way this works, and if a few dozen people decide they could afford 25 cents a day to become members and listen to Bart Cop Radio, which is sounding better than ever, that translates into real money that allows me to continue doing the page full time. So I want you to go to bartcop.com. Now, come on. I do. I know I'm always coming at you, right, with radiopower.org and whiterosesociety.org, and now I'm coming at you with Bart Cop. I'm sorry. This is what you have to do when you're creative and or liberal. You have to do it. You have to get the hat out. You have to pass the plate around and say, "Oh, can I have a buck? Can I have $5? The only reason we don't have to do it on this program is because this network is, you know, they actually pay me and pay salary a paycheck. So, you know, we don't have to do that. But you got to go to Bart Cop. It is one of the most acerbic, satirical sites. He links to all the good stuff that's out there every single day. I have found stuff from his site that is just astonishing. That he doesn't claim, he just links to it. So you can, you know, so you don't have to wade through a billion miles of cyberspace to find the good stuff. He says, remember, the Bush family evil empire, that's the same as, he calls it that, I call it the Bush crime family. He says, the Bush family evil empire owns the networks, the newspapers, and talk radio. The Internet is all we have. So if you have 25 cents a day, consider helping the majority's voice to be heard by supporting BartCop.com and any site that's fighting the illegal bastard who stole the White House. Even when BartCop makes a pitch for some money, he asks you to go ahead and support anybody that's fighting. And I'm just asking you to do it. I'm sorry. I don't mean to do this all the time. radiopower.org, whiteroastsociety.org, and now I'm going to bartkopp.com. He didn't ask me to do this. I don't know if he's going to be pissed off because, you know, I don't think so because he's got it up on his website. But it's a great site. If you haven't gone there and you don't know what I'm talking about, well, that's ridiculous. If you listen to this program on the Internet, of course you know about BartKopp. BartKopp.com. All of you know about BartKopp. Of course you do. So he's making a pitch for some bucks. And, you know, just be a subscriber. He's not asking for a handout. Not that there's anything wrong with a handout. You know, sometimes you need a handout. A lot of Joshua Micah Marshall, who, what's his website? He has a great site. You know, he said the other day he mentioned he needed money. And first thing you know, he had $4,870 came in and he had to ask people to stop sending money. That's what, a matter of fact, that was on BartKopp. But BartKopp's asked you to subscribe, and you get something. You get his radio program, and it is a real damn fine radio. If you haven't heard BartKopp do his radio show, since his is totally Internet, it's entirely different from anything else that you're going to hear. So come on, all right, go to BartKopp.com. He's got it all set up there. They use PayPal, just like most of these websites do, and kick in something, all right? $10 a month or $5 or 25 cents a day, whatever it is he's asking for, just go check it out, okay? Please? It's a great site. We don't know what's going to happen. We really don't. We don't know what's going to happen to the Internet or to some of these liberal sites or the few of us who remain holding on by our fingernails to doing talk radio from the left. We don't know what's going to happen. Nobody knows what's going to happen. And if there's a chance to support something that's totally independent and doesn't rely on corporate BS, then BartKopp.com is the place to go. And they're, you know, all of them. Take Back the Media. You know, it just goes on and on. There's so many good sites out there. But I'm talking tonight about BartKopp.com. Please go check it out. And if you're so inclined, send him a couple of bucks. Okay? Would you do that? God, I wish the universe were reversed, Kathy, and it were liberals and progressives who had the radio shows and the websites and the checking accounts and the gold credit cards and the, you know, I wish it was the conservatives who were going on their one or two little radio programs saying, please, we need some support. But it's not. It's us. And that's just the way it is. That's the way it is now. It's the way it's going to be for the rest of your lifetime. And my kids that listen in, my 16-year-olds out in San Diego and Florida and wherever you teenagers listen, it's going to be that way in your lifetime, too. Unless you do something about it. Us old folks are just about burned out, I'll tell you right now. But in the meantime, support BartKopp. Will you? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Now, Pat here has been holding on forever. She's calling from Hampton, Virginia. Hey, Pat.
Hi. I have, and I'm glad because I know that you're very popular. But I'll call it, you said BartKopp. How do you spell that?
BartKopp.
Okay, I got you.
COP.
COP, so
yeah.
Oh.
No, just like, you know, like Bart Simpson?
Uh-huh.
BartKopp.com.
And that's COP.
That's it.
Yeah, I had KOP.
Nuh-uh, COP.
Okay, so you had something else you said one night, and I said I couldn't find it because I wanted to switch my computer downstairs
so
I could hear you.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't, I didn't understand what you were saying.
Okay, well, we
didn't spell it.
We got this one down, right?
B-A-R-T.
No, B-A-R-T.
I said B-A-L-T.
BartKopp. No, come on now, Pat.
Okay, B-A-R-T.
C-O-P.
That's what I said.
Yes, yeah, .com.
Okay,
all right.
Right, I got that.
All right, now what you really called about?
It was about Trent Lott, and I'm not sure. You might have talked about it last night, and I didn't talk to my girlfriend. She listened to you every night, but I don't have a chance. And he was on TV Sunday, and he said he voted, and this is something, if you've heard it before, I'll go on to something else. It's only one other thing I wanted to mention.
Uh-huh.
But he said that the reason he voted for the ARP bill,
right,
the Medicare, everything, drugs, was because he didn't want to have his president defeated and have Kennedy running around telling everybody that he lost. Did anybody hear that but me?
I'm sure. I'm sure they did. If he was...
I was so disgusted because he said, I'm against this bill. He said, and I knew it would bankrupt the whole country.
But he's a dishonest, lying, sneaky, knuckle-dragging Republican. What do you expect?
Exactly.
Well, what do you expect?
Who is voting for this person?
But what do you expect him to... people in Mississippi. What do you expect him to do, Pat?
I didn't expect him to admit it on TV.
He can do that. He's a Republican. A Republican can stand out there and say, you know, the people that vote for me are dumber than skunks, but you know what? They will vote for me again because I bring the pork. I bring the bacon home to South Mississippi. I bring those shipbuilding contracts to Pascagoula. I provide jobs. I can be a racist freak. I can be anything I want to be, and who's going to stop me?
But I'm just saying, he just said, you know, I don't care what it's going to be. He said it's going to bankrupt the country, but I just couldn't, and they asked, and I can't remember what show he was on.
Probably Meet the Press or Face the Nation. Or
I think it was either Tim Russert or George Stephanopoulos. Whatever, maybe. Anyway, they were interviewing Sharpton and everybody, and Carol Mosley.
Hey, Pat.
Okay, I'll let that go, but can I ask you one more question?
Okay, quick.
Don't you think that radio today is just so deliberate, just tearing America apart, because in my community we don't discuss local stuff. It's just, you know, we have no local radio anymore.
And I do.
We don't know what our mayors or anybody's doing. And by the time we find out, you can't depend
on the
mayor.
It's too late. Yes, I do agree that talk radio is destroying the fabric of America. Pat, I got a break here. Thanks for checking in, dear heart.
Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol is lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
This report is sponsored by Pfizer and Viagra, Sildenafil Citrate. You've seen the signs as they leave the doctor's office. The spring in the step, the look of relief, spontaneous whistling. The technical term for this condition is, what took so long-itis? In layman's terms, it's what happens when you finally ask your doctor about Viagra. To experience the skipping, whistling, and sense of relief, ask your doctor about Viagra, and if a free sample is right for you. To learn more, go to Viagra.com.
If you've got a clogged up nose, Simply Stuffy. If you've got a snuffly nose, Simply Stuffy. If the rest of you feels fine, but your nose is out of line, give your schnozzle what it needs, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a stuffy nose simply disappear.
If you want to smell a rose, get the stuff out of your nose. If you're sick of feeling snotty, Simply Stuffy.
Simply Stuffy. Use as directed.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
Show.
NBC Wall Street Journal poll. Bush is in the worst political trouble of his presidency, according to this new poll. Yeah, they have their work cut out for them. What's it going to be? Is it going to be a phony assassination attempt on Bush like they staged with Reagan? Is it going to be another attack on U.S. soil where another 3,000 Americans and foreigners are going to be killed? Is it going to be another attack on another country? What are they going to do since they can't govern? Huh? So look for another war. The guy is toast, and you know it as well as I do, Truth Seekers, and maybe, just maybe, some Americans are coming out of the ether. But don't count on it, because they'll go right back into the ether as soon as these thugs engineer an act of violence against this country, or another war, or something about Bush. Oh, Bush broke his leg today. He was running and he stumbled. Oh, sympathy, sympathy. You know what I'm talking about.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, taking your calls, talking to celebrities like Raven Simone from The Cosby Show and the Dr. Dolittle movies. Do you have any pets of your own?
I do. I have two chinchillas and I have a big Briar.
Do you train your dog?
I don't. I just give him love and take him out. So he better love me because I have to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
So here you are, Charisse Dolittle, to talk to the animals. You don't even train your own dog. Nothing but love.
Nothing but love. All the need is love.
Animal Talk on the IE America Radio Network.
Ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
24 past the hour. Bush was at a fundraiser in Pittsburgh today, and I just want to play a very quick comment for you where he once again takes no responsibility for the state of affairs in this country. As a sidebar to that, on the headline on the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this morning was something to the effect of two-fisted recovery, I think, two-fisted economic recovery, something to that effect. Which I don't understand. There's still 3 million more people out of work than there was when this thug stole the presidency. But I don't understand how they say there's a recovery going on when people are still not working. But here's Bush, where he you know, once again he blames somebody other than him. This is the story of his life.
3 years ago, the economy was in trouble, and a recession was beginning.
Recession, yeah.
And then our country was attacked, and we had some scandals in corporate America.
Yeah, your friends.
And we marched to war for our own security and for the peace of the world. All that affected the people's confidence, but we acted.
Yeah!
We passed tough new laws to hold corporate criminals to account.
Yeah, like Ken Lay.
To get the economy going again.
Yeah.
I have twice led the United States Congress to pass historic tax relief for the American people.
Oh, and we love you, George, by God.
What a jackass. What a jackass. We marched to war for the peace of the world. For a piece of the world. You're just saying it with the wrong spelling. Well, he was in, yesterday, he was in Canton Township, Michigan, which Clint sent me this, I guess is near Dearborn. And he was talking to some soon-to-be unemployed workers at the Canton Township Auto Supply Factory. And he said, our economy is strong and it's getting stronger. Now, in Michigan, the unemployment rate is over 7%, almost 8%. So, and he did not carry Michigan in 2000. He's not going to carry it in 2004. The state has lost 180,000 factory jobs, many of them auto-related. And bearing the brunt of those losses, for the most part, are small businesses, like the small auto supply companies, where Bush perched. Monday's event, yesterday's event, was at a company called Dynamic Metal Treating Incorporated. And here's what it says in the Detroit News. Bush took the stage. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. Bush took the little stage with the owners of two small auto supply companies and four workers for what was billed as a conversation. Now, these six people, two owners and four workers, involved in the conversation, rehearsed for hours the day before on Sunday. But, you know, they're just common people, or just dumbass factory workers, so they forgot their lines, right? So Bush had to prompt them to mention prearranged topics, you know, from these dumb, soon-to-be unemployed factory workers. You know, you're going to be unemployed, maybe I'll join the army and go kill for my oil buddies. Bush had to remind one worker that he, the worker, had been able to refinance his home at low interest rates. You know, because he's not making any money, so get the money out, you know. And he had to remind another one that he'd saved $2,700 through recent tax cuts. Boy, you people are dumb. So Bush sits up there with this in the spontaneous conversation. Everything Bush does, when he pees, it's scripted. Karl Rove gives him a schedule. Here's when you can pee, and here's when you can do number two. He said, it's tough when there's a recession. Sometimes it means companies lay people off. Can't refuse, make me respectable, man. This is my last time in the uniform, I'm alive. So I get on my paper. Long night, impossible life. Keeping my back to the wall. And me all night, keep just what I am. I'm gonna be a power man.
Thieves in high places. They've stolen our country, and it's time to take it back. The explosive bestseller from Jim Hightower. From King George W. to his friends at Enron, they've stolen everything. Our government, our money, and our American way of life. Hightower knows we can do better, and he's back with a new book that will make you laugh, make you mad, and make you want to take action. Thieves in High Places. A ray of hope in these dark days and a roadmap back to real democracy. Available at bookstores everywhere and on the web at jimhightower.com. Buy Thieves in High Places today and help take your country back.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show, 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Time, Monday through Friday on IE America Radio Network.
Wildlife experts try to decipher the mystery behind a molecule that's killing animals in parts of North America. I'm Richard Hoops for Earthwatch Radio. A particularly unusual disease is infecting herds of deer and elk across the United States and Canada. It's called chronic wasting disease, and it's caused by a lifeless molecule, not a virus or bacteria. The molecule is an abnormal protein. It induces similar molecules in an infected animal to take the same form. The copycats will slowly break down the victim's nervous system, and ultimately they will destroy its brain. Chronic wasting disease is commonly known as CWD, and it's a problem in 9 states and 2 provinces. It was first seen in the wild in the 1980s in Colorado and Wyoming. Relatively few animals were infected, and they lived in herds that were widely dispersed across the landscape. But last year, the disease showed up in southwestern Wisconsin, and that unnerved a lot of people. CWD had moved into a part of the country where deer are numerous and herds are concentrated. That raises the risk that the disease could start spreading more rapidly. Mike Samuel is an ecologist who works in the Wildlife Research Unit of the University of Wisconsin in Madison. He's working with state and federal authorities to study CWD, and he says the mystery begins with the abnormal protein molecule.
It's not alive. I mean, it's not cellular. It's not like a bacteria or a virus. It doesn't have any of the functions that we think of associated with life in terms of excretion and respiration and all those kind of typical things that you learn in biology.
Samuel says the way this molecule moves from animal to animal is still unclear. He says that has to be understood to determine what can be done to limit the impact of chronic wasting disease on wildlife. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Sea Grant Program and the Gaylord Nelson Institute at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with an important public service announcement about sleep deprivation. Many of you are not obtaining the 10 hours of nightly sleep necessary for true patriotic Americans like my husband Georgie because you're staying awake to listen to the Mike Malloy Show from 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern Time. This dangerous behavior puts you at risk of daytime blackouts, diminished worker productivity, ghastly hallucinations, and erectile dysfunction. So when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
the Mr. Rogers parenting book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.
Doug Steffen's Good Day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
If you're worried about people finding work, you better increase demand. If you're trying to create new jobs, in other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
Oh my God! You can't write this stuff. You can't make this stuff up. That's him. Now, just briefly back to Canton Township outside of Detroit, where Bush went to speak to a bunch of factory workers and tell them what a good job he's doing. The headline in the Detroit News said, "Weary factory workers hear Bush tout jobs." Weary factory workers. Yeah. Yeah. But he went to Canton Township from a lunch fundraiser in Dearborn, where he added about $750,000 to his campaign purse. Detroit News says about 300 people munched on roast beef served from a buffet line before the president arrived. They had paid $2,000 a ticket for the pleasure. $2,000 a ticket for the pleasure. Those who had sold at least 10 tickets to the event were invited to a private room to have their photograph taken with Bush. Now, the demon in me almost changed that last sentence to something that I dare not say, but it started out as that sentence did. Those who had sold at least 10 tickets to the event were invited to a private room to have da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da by Bush. But I won't go there because my producer will pull the plug. Among those who thought they got their money's worth from the president's half-hour speech was Cynthia Cassell of Grosse Pointe. Now, for those of you who don't know, Grosse Pointe, Michigan is, well, there was a time when it was probably the richest community in America. It's where all the auto executives used to live. I don't know if it still is. I'm sure it is. But Cynthia said, "He's a plain speaker, and I admire his honesty and really believes he cares about the American people and moving the country forward. I'd be here if it was $10,000. Can you believe that? Mm-hmm. And the Detroit News identifies her as a 41-year-old legal researcher. "I'd be here if it was $10,000. You know why? Because I admire his honesty. He's the most honest man, you know? He told us there were weapons of mass destruction, and there were. He told us that Saddam was a threat to his neighbors, and he was. He said that Saddam was building nuclear weapons, and he was. And he said that Saddam attacked our country on September 11th, and he did. I love George Bush. He is so honest. $2,000, oh, if I had $10,000, I don't care. I don't care. I just love him. I just love him. I love George Bush. I love George Bush. He's my president. He's my president." Cynthia, he said he would find weapons of mass destruction. We haven't found them. He said Iraq tried to buy enriched uranium from Niger. It didn't. He said Iraq oil would pay for reconstruction. It hasn't. We've been stuck with an $87 billion bill when people are out of work, and we have a deficit that's going off the charts. We were told we would be greeted as liberators. Instead, we have more than 400 dead Americans, and let's see, he said mission accomplished 7 months ago, and last month he gave us the highest monthly casualty rate of the war, 75 Americans dead! What the hell's wrong with you, Cynthia? He's not honest. He's a liar. And people are dying because he's...
Oh, you know, I like George because he's honest and he's a plain speaker. And he cares about the American people and moving the country forward. And I'd be here if it was $10,000 for a ticket because I like him. I love him.
Cynthia Bush drew a false relationship between terrorism and the war in Iraq to scare Americans into supporting it. When the real threat is Osama bin Laden, remember him, Cynthia? You stupid moron. But see, there are more Cynthias than there are Mike Malloys. And that's just the way it is. That's just the way it is.
Oh, he's honest.
Things you have to believe to be a Republican today. I know y'all have heard this. I'll make it real quick and then back to your phone calls. Being a drug addict is a moral failing and a crime unless you're a conservative radio host. Then it's an illness and you need our prayers for your recovery. Wait a minute. Didn't I just do these a couple days ago, last week? Oh, never mind. To hell with it. Let's do this. Leland is calling from Santa Fe. Hey, Leland.
Oh, hi there.
Hey, I'm sorry. Did I wake you up?
No, it's all right. I just listen. Obviously, Osama bin Laden isn't really the main threat here either, and he never would have been a threat if the Saudis and the Pakistanis hadn't armed him with CIA money.
Yeah.
But I also had two other things that I wanted to say. One is that mad cow disease and chronic wasting disease have been documented to be related to excess manganese. And you should take a look at markpurdy.com, and I'll send you the link. His article was published in Nexus magazine.
Okay, yeah, send me the link. I'll check it out.
And the other thing is that the thing that you talked about the other day about the complaint by the woman whose husband was killed in 911
right.
is 61 pages long, and it's available
right.
from the website.
Yeah, I've got the link posted at my website.
Okay, cool. And I just wanted you to know, do people know that this guy, Phil Berg, is a former deputy attorney general from Pennsylvania.
Now, Phil Berg is... Who is he?
He's the former deputy attorney general of Pennsylvania.
But, I mean, why did you bring up his name? In what context?
Oh, Phil Berg, he's the lawyer that's representing the woman in this complaint.
Oh, Phil Berg? I thought I saw a different name, but he's a former attorney general. That's cool. I like
and
that.
And a former candidate for governor and senator, so it's a very serious attorney.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's a good thing. You'll notice the blackout on the story. You're not going to find the story anywhere on any news gathering organization in America.
Except they're in New Zealand, right? Right.
Yeah, that's where the story came from.
Incredible, huh?
Scoop.co.nz, which is a great news source, an excellent news source. But you're not, I don't think you're going to hear Peter Jennings or Dan Rather or Tom Brokaw or any of the candy asses on cable news networks reporting this story.
Well, Cynthia McKinney got nearly destroyed, her life was nearly destroyed for suggesting that.
Yeah.
So it's very dangerous.
Yeah, this woman will probably have a car wreck or fall off a ladder or receive an envelope in the mail that's loaded with anthrax.
Like fall out of the State Department building like that other guy the other day.
Yeah. And then they'll find that she had cocaine in her blood, so there you go.
Of course, the traces of PCP or something.
There you go, PCP, just like the guy in Cincinnati that they beat the Christ out of and killed.
Right, that was it, I heard.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, he's PCP. See, there's no autopsy report on this man yet, but a little pissant white cops and the white power structure in Cincinnati is already telling the national news media, and the news media is picking up, oh, this guy had, we found PCP, traces of PCP and cocaine in his car. So that's why we beat him to death. Plus, he was a Negro, and he was way overweight, and, you know, he should have been on Atkins, and he wasn't, and he wasn't dressed right, so we had to kill him.
Right.
Thanks, Leland.
No problem, Mike.
All right, sir. You have a nice evening. I remember the Rodney King videotape. We were in Chicago at the time doing talk radio there, and what an outrage it was, right? And then when the jury found the cops not guilty. Oh, my God. And then what happened? Do you remember what happened then? Yeah, sure you do. How many died? 65 people died in L.A.? White people out there really got nervous about that one. That one looked like it was going to just keep going, didn't it? And poor Cincinnati. Poor Cincinnati. Remember the story a year and a half, 2 years ago? 17 dead black men in 17 months or something like that, all of them gunned down by police.
Well, Mike, aren't you in favor of law and order?
Yeah, I am. I think that the one organization that needs to practice law and order first is the police department of any city. Use law. Not your gun. Use order. Not the chaos of butchering people on the street because they happen to be Latino or Negro or occasionally, you know, some scruffy-looking white person. But that's usually a mistake. Usually the white person is thought to be a Negro or a Mexican, and so he gets shot, and then they find out he's really white, and they go, oh, God, we're sorry. Hey, woo, wow, I hate racism in this country, and it's saturated, and it's in me, it's in you, it's in all of us. You can't get away from it. You can't get away from it. It's there. All you can do is struggle against it constantly. So that videotape, they beat him to death because he was not on the Atkins diet. He was a huge man. In Cincinnati, they're saying, well, he was 400 pounds. His family says he was only 300.
No, he's 400, and we found PCP in his car. Oh, we had to kill him. He's a Negro. What do you want?
So the black folk in Cincinnati, who have been through this over and over and over and over and over again, black folk in Cincinnati have been through this for 400 years.
Oh, Mike, there wasn't any Cincinnati 400 years ago.
Yes, there was. 400 years of this stuff, right? So, you know, the black ministers and the black ministers and the black folks who take seriously community relations, who would like to work with white people if they just could, they had a press conference and, you know, they're questioning the whole thing. Here we go again. Here we go again. Podium, microphone, 8 or 9 black men. Most of them ministers, maybe a sociologist, and they're standing there questioning the beating death of yet another black man. Now, for those people who say, well, Mike, the videotape shows him attacking, and it does. The one section of the videotape shows the black man attacking this white guy, this white cop. Yeah, that's right, it does. And that justifies his murder. We don't know what happened prior to that, A. B. We don't know whether or not the man was incited to defend himself. But one thing we do know, the cops in Cincinnati who beat this man to death probably could have pulled out their cans of mace or pepper spray and sprayed him in the eyes and the throat. He might have still died, but at least he wouldn't have been beaten to death. You know what I'm saying? And those white cops with the batons, holding on with both hands, just punching into that mountain of black flesh. Wasn't that nice, huh? Did that, when you saw that one, did you think, Jesus, we're still doing it? White cops are still beating black men to death.
Well, Mike, one of the cops was black.
I believe 8 cops showed up and one of them was black. Did he beat the black man? Did he help beat the black man to death?
Well, Mike, the autopsy report isn't in yet. You just said it. They don't know what caused him to die.
That's right. You're absolutely right. Who keeps running in here and talking to my microphone? Who is that person? But, you know, there it is again, and again, and again, and again, and again. But you and I both know that this time, one of the reasons the white cops beat the black man to death is because he was overweight. And we all know that if you're not on Atkins diet here in 2003, December, well, that warrants a beating, doesn't it?
I didn't mean to kill him.
Derek is calling from San Diego. Yes, Derek, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Come on, you know, they were just cleaning their batons and they went off.
Is that what it was?
That's all it was.
Yeah, cleaning their batons.
And listen, you know, I was listening to you earlier talking about that NASCAR thing on the South Lawn.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking, boy, you know, it's pretty obvious that Bush is making overtures towards the NASCAR dads, the
oh, sure.
new, voting bloc group.
Sure.
But it didn't occur to me until a few minutes afterwards just how in-depth that the Rovian psychology is in that. Not only do they have NASCAR that appeal to the rednecks.
Yeah.
They put them on the White House lawn.
Yeah.
The only thing that they could have done to make it more overt was to put them up on blocks.
Yeah, that's true. Now, I have a brother-in-law who's been an Ohioan all his life, and he loves NASCAR racing.
I'm actually a pretty big fan of NASCAR myself.
Are you?
Yeah.
Yeah?
But, you know, it just occurs to me that NASCAR dads is the nice way of saying the exact same group that Howard Dean was referring to with the
The pickup trucks and the rebel flags.
You know, they all come down on Dean like he was trying to salute the Confederate flag or something.
Hey, you're too smart by half, Derek. You figured it out. See, if Howard Dean does it, the media, and if Howard Dean just bluntly says, I want to be the president for the white guys in the South to drive the pickup trucks with the rebel flags, oh, geez, even Al Sharpton got a piece of him on that one.
Mm-hmm.
They all jump, and the white people, oh, God, oh, Trent Lott!
You know, I love the fact that when Edwards jumped in on it...
Oh, Edwards too, yeah.
He didn't jump in on the racism thing. He seemed to get really upset about the pickup trucks part of it.
I know. I hate these people. I hate these people. I just hate them. I just loathe them all. Don't you?
I do, but I try not to. I try not to take them. Take them with a couple grains of salt. I try to laugh at them more than I just grind my teeth because you know if I just sat there grinding, I wouldn't have any teeth left.
Eventually, don't have any teeth. Hey, thanks, Derek.
Hey, you're welcome.
All right, sir. Appreciate it. And why do they call them batons? You know, when people are being clubbed to death, why not call them clubs? Batons, that's what little white girls and little black girls throw up in the air and twirl when they march around the high school football field in their little short skirts. Right? Those are batons. What the police use are clubs. They are weapons of death.
And the local people training on the merchants and the shops who used to sell their brooms and mops and every other household item. Watch a mob just turn and bite them. They say it serves them right because a few of them were white. And it's the same across the nation, black and white discrimination. Yeah, and you can't understand me and all that other jazz they hand me in the papers and TV and all that mass stupidity that seems to grow more every day. Each time you hear something they would say, you want to go and do your in because the color of your skin just don't appeal to him, no matter if it's black or white, because he's out for...
Oh, hon, it's cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Ugh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
Need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
Look, anything related to my physical well-being, I get a second opinion. And that includes the laxative I use. So when I asked my doctor which one he recommended, he didn't hesitate. Colace Stool Softener Capsules. Then I asked my neighborhood pharmacist. She said the same thing. Colace Capsules. Now that's two people who I believe know what they're talking about, recommending one laxative. Colace Capsules.
For more information on the number one stool softener brand recommended by doctors and pharmacists, go to ColaceCapsules.com.
If your hacking just won't stop, simply cough. If you're honking like a duck, simply cough. If the rest of you feel fine, but you're coughing all the time, and it's waking up your sister, simply cough.
Simply cough. From the makers of Children's Tylenol, it has only the medicine your child needs to make a cough simply disappear.
If your soda's all a tickle and you're really in a pickle, and you're hacking off a packing, simply cough.
Simply cough. Use as directed.
If you think people are more important than corporations, you need to see The Progressive Populist. Twice a month, we feature columnists such as Jim Hightower, Molly Ivins, and other plutocrat pluckers from around the country. We'll send you a free sample copy if you'll call us toll-free 1-800-205-7067 or see our website at populist.com. That's 1-800-205-7067 or populist.com or The Progressive Populist, the newspaper for Main Street USA.
Are you fed up with the Imperial Bush White House, the timid Democrats, the spinnable national media? Then you should join Bill Clinton, Molly Ivins, Tom Brokaw, and other insiders who turn to the Washington Monthly Magazine for journalism that isn't afraid to shake some sense into the system. I'm Paul Glastras, editor of the Washington Monthly, and if you're hungry for the inside scoop on what's really happening in Washington and what can be done about it, you need to read the Washington Monthly. We're not a subsidiary of some giant corporation or a mouthpiece for ideologues. We're an independent voice willing to say what needs saying, and we break big stories, from Bill Bennett's gambling habit to the real reasons we went into Iraq. Read the Washington Monthly to find out how to make capitalism work for everybody, how to achieve universal health care, how to win the war on terrorism without losing our rights. James Carville says, if you only get one magazine subscription this year, buy the Washington Monthly. If you get another, buy two. Visit our website at www.washingtonmonthly.com or call us at 1-815-734-5817, the Washington Monthly.
Did you pick up your phone book the other day and almost get a hernia because of all the lawyer ads? Do you panic when you turn on the television and there is another lawyer encouraging you to call him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to find out who you can sue and what your rights are? Well, you don't need that anymore. But you know, you don't get your surgeon out of the yellow pages, and you don't need a retainer fee to listen to me. The Legal Huddle is your one-stop radio shop for everything you would ever want to know about the American legal system. I'm Ed Zelenak. I've been a prosecutor, bandleader, foreign diplomat, and advisor to presidential candidates. And as your host of the Legal Huddle, I'm uniquely qualified to answer everything you ever wanted to know about the law but were afraid to ask. And you know, if I don't know the answer, I'll make one up. You can call me with your questions, your comments, your opinions, and your feelings about our judiciary. And you know something? I will never hold you in contempt of court in the Legal Huddle. So join me and a cast of thousands here in the Legal Huddle, Sunday mornings, 9 until 11, on the IE America Radio Network.
I'm Michael.
I'm Ellen.
And we're the Cooking Couple.
Join us every Sunday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here for the Cooking Couple Show.
Where we serve you food with attitude plus a heaping helping of humor. It's all about food, family, and fun.
So tune in every Sunday from noon to 2 for nutrition, fitness, innovative products, consumer tips, and entertainment options for the whole family.
It's the Cooking Couple Show. And when the Cooking Couple cook, we do it on all four burners.
It's food with attitude.
Chop suey, chow mein, young one, tofu, and you.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush with a helpful hint to resist the wicked and shameful addiction that causes some of our otherwise mentally healthy citizens to tune in to the Mike Malloy Show weeknights at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. I suggest that you recovering Malloy listeners spend these 3 hours simply standing in your yards, saluting the flags on your houses, apartments, or trailers, or whatever you little people live in. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
And now, the man conservatives love to hate. It's Mike Malloy.
Well, by the way, while Bush was in outside Dearborn, Michigan, talking about his job recovery program, it just happens that this is the month that the feds, the Republicans who control this country now, are ending the temporary program of offering extra unemployment benefits to people whose state benefits have expired. That's a program that's helped about 300,000 people a month. It's ending. How about that? December. This program is scheduled to end December 27th. There appears to be no interest by the Republicans in Congress for another extension. So people who have been drawing federal unemployment, you are screwed. 2 days after Christmas, it ends. Your free ride is over, and you can get out and celebrate the Bush economy. Now, of course, There's a Washington think tank, the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities, Progressives. They issued a statement noting that several labor market indicators are worse than they were in March 2002 when this temporary unemployment benefits package was passed by Congress. The unemployment rate is higher. Back then it was 5.7%, now it's 6%. The number of unemployed is greater. Back then it was 8.2 million, now it's 8.8 million. The number of long-term unemployed is greater. Back then, it was 103 million. Now it's 2 million. And the number of jobs available is smaller. It just goes on and on. But we are in the midst of a wonderful recovery, so don't pay any attention to the lies put out there by the liberal media. Everything is fine, and your unemployment, temporary unemployment benefits at 13, those three 13-week extensions you got, it's over. Your ass is going out on the up to the food bank if you want to feed your family. We are in a recovery. Jeff is calling from Santa Fe. Jeff, we have about a minute.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Jeff.
So I know why they call them batons.
Well,
they patriotically have state-sanctioned marches to the strains of dueling banjos. They can beat the hell out of anyone who stands in their way.
Okay.
Anyway, that was just one little thing.
Yeah.
I was wondering if you found out anything more about Jeb Bush sending the records of the flights out of Florida and into another country.
Into cyber, into God knows where. No, I have not, and I'm going to pursue that, but that's part of your job, too, to pursue that. Jeff, we are flat out of time. The music playing. We have to go. I'm sorry we didn't get to spend some time with you on the phone here, but we got a boogie. Thanks, Jeff. Maybe tomorrow night. Program tonight engineered in Detroit by Jay Bilecki, produced here in Atlanta by Catherine Bay. Mark Marshall of MaximumInteractive.com is our webmaster. Check out MikeMalloy.com. You haven't gone there yet? Shame on you. Jim in Arkansas is our music bureau chief. I'll see you tomorrow night, I hope.